We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77.
WABC.
Blind me to the light and reach out for his hand. Don't ask any questions and don't try to understand. Open up your mind and then open up your heart. And you
Thursday morning, back on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning show. Chris Libertini gets so upset when I just say Bernie and Sid. He's like, you got to brand the show the way the show is branded. It's Bernie and Sid in the Morning. And don't say tune in, you sound old, Sid. You got to say listen, because people are on their phones and they don't just always tune in. I'm like, oh my God, Chris, I got to get out of this office right now.
please. Let's wrap up the session and... You email me these instructions, all right?
Which is exactly what he did. But, like, we were on Imus for 100 years, Bernie and I, and I know the show was Imus in the Morning, but we just said Imus. Just like we just say Bernie and Sid. I know it's Bernie and Sid in the morning, but anyway, he wants us to say that. So start practicing right now, Bernie.
Bernie and Sid in the Morning.
Oh, you said that very,
Bernie
very nicely.
Bernie and Sid. Bernie and Sid in the Morning on 77 WABC.
Oh, that's good.
He's a wrinkled up old skunk.
There he is. God rest his soul. I actually heard you do that in the meeting yesterday, the old WNBC with Pig Vomit, the great Bart Giamatti. That was very funny.
Pig Vomit.
Yeah, good old Pig Vomit. Yeah. So my allergies are bothering me today. Not that any of you care. Nobody cares, I know. But my right eye specifically is giving me a hard time. So, I mean, I look great. I got a nice shave today. I'm wearing a nice blue suit, blue shirt. I've never been more muscular in my life.
What did the guy Philando Lamas used to say?
It doesn't matter how you feel. It's how you look.
It's better to look good than to feel good.
And you look marvelous.
So dummy up there you, huh?
That was a great character by Billy Crystal.
Yeah.
On SNL, right?
I remember.
Philando Lamas. What was the father's name? Oh, it was Fernando, and the son was Lorenzo Lamas.
Right.
Very handsome guy, too.
Couple of Irish guys.
So we had some good conversation at the end of the Frank and Juliet show that I think we should do on this show, too. And that is at the Olympics starting tomorrow, which I thought they were going to cancel. I actually hope they do cancel because I've been over this before. I'm so disappointed in people like Gwen Berry and you know, we talked about the national anthem, and she says it's not a racist country, but it's a racist song. And it's all nonsense. She's a racist. And that's why I can't even root wholeheartedly for the Americans like I'd like to do. And then, of course, you have this other story about the guy who's the director for the opening ceremony, which is always a big deal, coming to you from Tokyo. And he got fired yesterday for a joke he made 23 years ago about the Holocaust. And the question is that cancel culture or is that okay?
That was before you... We're in trouble. That was before I was ever in trouble.
That's true.
I mean, that's a long-ass time ago.
That's true. First time I got into really, really big trouble was 2000 with the Venus and Serena stuff on Imus. You're right. That was 2 years before.
But even more reason now, to give you more reason, to not root for or to have the Olympics canceled, perhaps, is with the soccer team yesterday.
Those bastards.
They
lost to Sweden. I was so happy. I'm rooting against our own women to lose.
They kneeled, and they had the Swedish team kneel with them. They knelt, and everybody, half of the country here, is glad that the United States soccer team lost.
The women. It was the women.
The women.
Yes.
It was the purple-haired lesbian.
I'm glad, too. And is she still on the team, Megan Rapinoe?
You kidding me? She's the ringleader.
Okay. Well, I don't care about Sweden. I know you made the point, and they made it this morning, too. Sweden also knelt. I don't care what they do in Sweden. I don't care what they do in Germany, Italy, Japan, or London. I care about this country. And again, for the millionth time, if you're LeBron James and you want to be an a-hole, God bless you.
Ingrates.
I can't stop you.
Ingrates.
Right.
Spoiled, ignorant, stupid ingrates.
You're representing this damn country. If it's the song, if it's the flag, whatever it is, you need to put your hand over your heart and shut your stupid mouth.
Right. Go across the Sea of Japan or whatever it is that separates Japan and China and see how some of the people live in underneath the Communist Chinese Party.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some cities there, Hong Kong, which they've overtaken. They broke the deal. Oh, I guess Shanghai's not bad. But for the most part, life is not great in China.
No.
Not at all.
No.
Go to North Korea. Go to Cuba. Go to Venezuela. Go, by the way, to where all these people that are coming across the border now, it turns out, Brazil, Ghana, Haiti, all these places where these people are breaking down the doors to get in here, and you're crapping on this country?
Yeah.
You got some set there, purple-haired lesbian lady. You really do.
Again, they lost, so. So what does that mean now? What is this loss to Sweden? Meany is our Olympic consultant here. What does that mean?
It means that they're 0-1.
I guess. You know nothing about the Olympics. I'm kidding around. You know nothing, do you, Meany?
No, and I had to change my mic. I don't know anything about the women's soccer team.
Can you name five events coming up in the Olympics? Five.
Oh, swimming, diving, basketball, skateboarding,
okay.
And soccer.
You're all over it. Look at you. You're like Maria Taylor.
By the way, who's the sports savant here? Matt Meany or Sid Rosenberg?
I don't count the Olympics as sports.
Oh.
Doesn't count. It's amateur sports. Doesn't count. Nobody cares. Nobody. I tell you who's a big sports guy, equally as big as me, is Joe Nolan, our great traffic guy. I got to ask you, Joe, Mr. New Jersey Devils, New York Jet fan,
yep.
Do you give a rat's ass about the Olympics?
No, not this year. I don't.
Oh, you're mad, too, about the kids, right?
I'm mad about the kids, but I'm also, who cares?
Right.
It used to be fun. When we would do the Russians, you know, you play the Russians in basketball and in hockey, and it was fun.
Right.
Now it's just, I don't know.
Cancel
it's no fun. Mary Lou Retton would bop around. They'd find condoms all over the Olympic Village. That was good stuff. Oh, I'm in one of those moods today. I'm in a lovey-dovey mood today. I don't know. Something happened overnight. I can't tell you, but just one of those moves.
I don't want to know. What I tell you.
You know, I've got a lot to do after the show today. So does Bernie. Bernie and I are both doing our podcast today. Bernie's doing an audio podcast. He had great success with Trigger Please back at the old place, so he's bringing that back.
No, it's going to be called American Lives Matter.
I like that.
We decided on American Lives Matter.
I like that. And I'll go back to the video podcast I was doing. I did a whole bunch. They got a lot of hits. Chaz Palminteri, Michael Rappaport, Joseph Abu, just to name a few. Michael Douglas's son, if you remember him, Cameron Douglas. So I'll return to doing that today. And then I'm going to go to St. Patrick's Cathedral today because it's been a couple of weeks. And I need to make a couple of prayers for a couple of people. That always puts me in a good mood. So the priest loves me there. It's just incredible. I walk in there and it's, you know, I got to be the only Jew who goes on a regular basis. I have to be.
Well, it's a big tourist spot, so there are a lot of diverse people.
Right, but they'll show up once. They'll light a candle.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you were a regular.
I'm a regular.
Yeah. Right. They're probably like, what
is this guy doing?
Can we get rid of this?
Get rid of him, right, exactly. They're definitely thinking that, but they're very nice.
No, they're very inclusive.
They're very nice. Ed Randall, the talking baseball guy, is there on Fridays at the lectern, but I can't go tomorrow, so I'm going to go today, and then... And then it's a beautiful day here in New York today, 83 degrees and sunny. In fact, Bernard, to your pleasure, living on the beach, you've got about three or four gorgeous days in a row. Gorgeous.
Yeah, it's going to be beautiful. I'm psyched. We're smack dab in the middle of summer, and we're going to have some beautiful weather. That haze, the fires, the smoke from the fires on the West Coast are coming back this way, but nevertheless, it makes for beautiful sunsets. I try to see the silver lining and everything. And I'll tell you what, that's why another reason why I stay home. Is I hate to fly. And why do I hate to fly? Because of fights on planes these days. They happen way too often. It happened in Miami. You've been to Miami Airport many times. You've flown out of it many times. Frontier Airlines. Some dude was taking his luggage down from, from the overhead bin. And they got into a full-out brawl. Listen to this. Hit us. So you see, this is why, like, for example, they said to us, so you want to go to a Turning Point down in Tampa?
Yeah, they offered us a trip.
I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to fly. I am claustrophobic. It happens. People are fighting over crying babies. They have to wear masks. It's hot.
It's not that bad,
luggage.
It's not that bad.
It's terrible.
It's not. I've taken 10-hour trips to Hawaii. You can't not go away the rest of your life.
By the way, there are delays, constant delays due to worker shortages.
Are you telling me you're not going to travel?
There are drunks.
You're not going to travel anymore?
No. I'm not. Unless I can fly first class, unless it's a special trip, I am not traveling.
Well, I got news for you, brother. I flew first class, United Airlines. And guess what? it was still rough. You got to wear a mask.
I know it. That's what I'm saying.
But I'm not going to travel anymore because it's a bit inconvenient.
A bit inconvenient?
Yes.
Did you hear what I just played?
It doesn't happen every trip.
You're at 35,000 feet in the air and you got this going on?
You can walk outside in the street.
Wait, they were knocking out stewardess's teeth.
Oh, stop.
It happens all the time.
No, it doesn't.
And I have claustrophobia just to begin with. That's A. And then with this and the masks and the crazy people.
You're crazy. Get out of here.
I'm crazy?
Yes. You got to travel. You got to do things.
I don't.
You can't stay home because you have to wear a mask or some crazy lady. You can get punched in the face walking to your car across the street there. You got a much better chance.
I am very happy where I am, and I ain't getting on no damn plane.
Crazy. You know, so, and it's funny because they brought the trip up to Tampa, and it got Judge Jeanine and Donald Trump Jr. and all these, you know, all these big shots, and they wanted me and Bernie to do our show live from there. But he's like, not going. Can't go, can't do it.
I wasn't quite that adamant.
You were pretty adamant.
They were like,
it.
Do you want to go? And I'm like, if you're asking me, I'm saying, no, I don't want to go.
Yeah, no, you were much more adamant than that. The conversation was over.
they asked nicely, and I answered very nicely.
So I go, I'll go myself, but you can leave Bernie back here, and we'll do interviews over the phone. And then LeBrosi's like, nah, we'll just.
Roger, Roger.
Yeah. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Nolan, you don't travel anymore either? What's the deal with you?
No, I get on the JetBlue, put on the headphones,
right.
And watch the and watch whatever game is on.
I do that too. I do the same thing. Yeah, that's why you have to fly. You have to make sure the schedule is loaded. You can never fly like All-Star Week.
That's another thing, though. Some guy's watching a game and his team is losing, and he starts a brawl with you.
No, they do.
He's half in a bag, and the next thing you know, he's punching people.
I just get another beer.
Right. That's all.
That's all.
Yeah, I got to imagine back in July when they were raising flags all over New York and New Jersey every night. You heard this song quite a bit. ABBA, Dancing Queen, 6:53 on your Thursday morning. You know, yesterday, quickly, before we get to the meat of the day here, Bernard, I had a meeting at Maimonides Hospital. So I saw Heshy Orgenbaum, who I love dearly. I saw Michael Brincott, who I love dearly. And I saw Michael Antoniadis, Mike A., okay, the guy who's basically running the hospital, who's a terrific guy, and his son Nico is going to be a Major League Baseball player. And at one point, I walked outside because I was about to leave, and I never heard louder thunder. Never heard louder thunder in my whole life. Did you get?
I heard it. I was sleeping, but
you got that storm too, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Sure. Well, you know, passed through the whole tri-state area, but I slept until about 6:30, and when I woke up, it was
gorgeous.
Beautiful.
It was
beautiful.
Gorgeous. Yes. Yes. But for a good 30 minutes, it was a violent, I mean violent, thunderstorm, heavy rains, and you know, standing outside my mind, he's trying to get to La Strada to have some chicken parmesan. I was afraid to walk outside, and I always enjoy that.
I tell you, it ain't easy.
No, it's not, is it? No,
no, and nor was it easy. Speaking of the meat of the day, the imbecile in chief, and we'll just touch on it right now. But the Joe Biden, Sleepy Joe, was on. He did a town hall last night. With Don Lemon on CNN, and it was attended. The auditorium was half filled. He can't even fill an auditorium, this idiot. And the two of them, by the way.
Give me a little break here.
But he was characteristically confused. Take a listen.
The question is whether or not we should be in a position where you are. Why can't the experts say we know that this virus is in fact it's going to be we know why all the drugs approved are not temporarily approved but permanently approved.
All right, that wasn't edited, and that's just one of many, and I'm not going to play it all morning long, but that's just an example. The 25th Amendment, what are we waiting for? Please. Other news, a lot of news out there. Well, first of all, I don't know if you saw, did you see that the video of the shoplifters leaving TJ Maxx in it from an LA TJ Maxx store?
I didn't see that, no.
Yeah. We'll post it on Bernie and Sid Facebook, Twitter, whatever. But they're just walking out. They have, like, their arms. They couldn't carry anymore. I mean, they're not running. They're not trying to hide. They're just walking out the door. And that's typical. We've seen it, you know, about the 17 Walgreens that were closed in San Francisco. They have this bill, Proposition 47, that passed years ago where they decriminalized shoplifting. Anything that you rob and property crimes like burglary, if it's less than $1,000 worth of merchandise or stuff, you don't get arrested, you don't get prosecuted, and they know that. And they're taking advantage of this, well, the defund the police, the lack of police, you know, being proactive and stuff like that. And it's happening all over the place. So that's why these stores are closing. Now, Governor Newsom was asked yesterday about this Proposition 47 causing crime. This is what he said.
There are some people that say some of the policies championed by Democrats, like Prop 47 and others, are making crime worse. Yeah, what do you say to that?
Well, the evidence doesn't back it up. The last three decades, we've actually seen a significant decline in crime in the state. You're seeing crime increase in red states that had no criminal justice reform, commensurate with the crime rates that we're seeing here in California.
So the reason why the crime rates may reflect the lower crime is because they're not arresting anybody.
Right.
I mean, here's the, we have it on video all over the place. Walgreens is closing left and right in San Francisco because of these laws, and that is the reason. And to speaking of San Francisco, some of the people who live there, some of the business owners, they spoke yesterday about this just sort of devolution into anarchy. Listen to them.
They're literally just taking it from the store. They're taking it, grabbing it, and running.
The bottom window is now boarded up because someone broke into our store one night.
A guy come and just grab anything that he can get.
They casually come in, grab what they need, and walk out.
I ran up to stop them, and they kind of threatened everyone here, and then they took what they wanted to and left.
This has been going on for a year and a half now. It's really bad.
So that's the United States in 2021. They have Proposition 47, which was backed by Soros, and they will hoodwink the voters. Voters actually voted it into law. We have no cash bail. They have lenient, very lenient prosecutors. The prosecutor in San Francisco is the son of a domestic terrorist, a domestic terrorist couple. And, of course, the L.A. guy, similarly, very Soros-backed. Totally makes Cy Vance look like he's tough on crime. It is a disaster out there in California, and it's a disaster here as well.
All right, it is a Bill O'Reilly Thursday, the great one himself, although Mark Levin's a great one, that's true. The greatest one. Bill O'Reilly showing up at 8:40 this morning, and then dear friend, the amazing actor, writer, director, it is Restaurant Week. He's got two of them here in New York, one in White Plains and one in the Theater District. Our dear friend Chaz Palminteri is going to stop by as well, so we got a great show for you. Liddy Report, Beat Bernie, all the stuff. Yes, all the stuff you love. There's only three people I really like on New York One, Bernie. You know that. One is Shannon Ferry, who actually went to Hofstra University with our own Jen, oh my God.
And my son.
That's right. B went to Hofstra. That's right.
And at the same time.
At the same time. Lindsay Tushman, I happen to like. And I like this guy, Roger Clark. I talked about him yesterday. I know you don't know who he is, but he's been covering Restaurant Week all week. And I mentioned this place in the Bronx. I don't know it's in the Bronx, but I did mention this place, Ice House Cafe. Turns out Ice House Cafe, you know where this is, Bernie, is at 3124 Harding Avenue, right by the Throgs Neck Bridge.
Okay, yeah, I'm familiar with it.
Of course you are.
Throgs Neck, we used to call it.
Throgs Neck.
Throgs Neck. I'm from Throgs Neck.
So I get a DM from this Kelly D. Garamolo. She happens to be the manager, and she goes, hey, were you talking about my restaurant this morning? I said, well, I mentioned it. Roger Clark was there. She goes, yes. She goes, I listen to you and Bernie every day. Today was the first show I missed in 9 months because I had to be at work early to meet Roger Clark.
I hate when that happens.
So today he's at Telly's Taverna, another very good place, which I have been to many times, a Greek restaurant in Queens. And that is one of the reasons why Chaz Palminteri is coming on this hour at 7:40, besides talking about the mayor race and the Yankees, who've got a huge set starting at Fenway Park, a four-game series against the Red Sox later on tonight. It's because he owns two restaurants, and Restaurant Week is a big deal here in New York. It lasts 5 weeks. So there you have it. You've got the Ice House Cafe in the Bronx, Telly's Taverna, very good Greek restaurant in Astoria, and, of course, Chaz has not one but two great restaurants.
Well, we love Chaz. We'll see him at 7:40, and it's a great week for New York. Hopefully, this whole thing will turn around. Everything will come back. So I'm staying optimistic. Now, down in Washington, D.C., first of all, before I get to this, Pelosi, and they want to investigate January 6th because, really, they need January 6th in a big way. They need it so badly for November 2022 because they don't have anything else. They had the pandemic before. What are you laughing at?
I can't believe we're still talking about January
6th. Oh, not only are we talking about it.
I can't believe it.
The DOJ is spending millions of dollars. They're sending FBI agents to harass old ladies and, 65-plus people who are down in D.C., spending millions and millions and millions of dollars. They were probably also complicit in this thing. But Nancy Pelosi wants to assemble a select committee.
I know, like
to investigate, right? Yeah. And she won't. No committee to investigate the origins of COVID. Though.
No,
that's
no.
not happening. But no. before we even get to that, this unfolded yesterday was exposed. That plot to kidnap Governor Whitmer from Michigan. That whole plot was instigated, planned, and partially executed or attempted to be executed by the FBI. The FBI, they were the guys who planned the whole thing. They got a couple of disgruntled, Ted Nugent types out there in Michigan and who were mad because of Whitmer's COVID restrictions. And they got these guys to agree to go along with the kidnap plot. But they instigated the whole damn thing. And also, coincidentally, it turned out this week that the lead FBI agent on it was just arrested on Monday for beating the crap out of his wife almost to death after taking her to a swingers party. This is what we're doing. So it's not far-fetched to think that the FBI helped plan, plot, and execute the January 6th insurrection.
And that's been Tucker Carlson's point for weeks now, and he's been getting savaged, obviously, by the liberal news.
Yes, and it's a very plausible, it's a probable occurrence.
You would go with probable.
I would go with probable.
Wow.
So so Pelosi's going to have this. Definitely probable.
I mean, I think it's definitely plausible, but I'm not sure I'd go as far as probable. But you may be right.
Yeah, listen, they rejected many, many offers. Did the sergeant at arms of the House, who reports to Nancy Pelosi, many offers for protection. They said, no, we don't want it. Don't worry about it. They won't release like 14,000 hours of a videotape. So what is Nancy Pelosi trying to hide? They lied about the death of the cop. They won't tell who shot an unarmed a woman who
Ashley
was trespassing.
Bobbitt.
Yeah.
Yep.
So what happened yesterday was that the Republicans said, okay, we're going to send over five guys for your committee. You have five. We have five. And Pelosi said, well, we're not going to take two of your guys. Two of your guys who are both, one of them is Jim Jordan, who's very effective. He's on the Judiciary Committee.
Like
the other is a naval intelligence officer. His name is Jim Banks from Indiana. He was the guy who was questioning the very woke, idiot admiral, the schmuck that should be thrown off the back of an aircraft carrier for forcing these racist books on the sailors. Anyway, this guy's very effective. So Pelosi says to these two guys, because she knows that they'll ask the tough questions, I'm not going to take your two guys. I'm sorry. I'm not taking those two guys. Pick somebody else. So Jordan said, McCarthy, the speaker, the minority speaker, says, well, we're not going to participate in your farce, in your sham, your circus, your kangaroo court. As a matter of fact, this is what McCarthy said yesterday about all that. Take a listen.
Think about who she's objecting to. Jim Banks, who is a naval officer who defended our nation in Afghanistan and is chair of the largest caucus inside our conference. Jim Jordan, who is the ranking Republican on Judiciary that has the jurisdiction over this, who has been on select committees. She decides that they're not worthy. Never in the history of Congress and the select committee, I checked with the historian, has this ever taken place where the one party decides who's all on the committee. Why is Nancy Pelosi so afraid of the truth coming out? We cannot afford to have a speaker like this.
What does the punk in a pantsuit know? What is she trying to hide? When did she know it? Why did she refuse help? Banks himself spoke as well, and he asked the right questions. Listen to him.
They never intended to work with us to begin with. This was a political sham from the beginning. They proved it today. They knew that Jim Jordan and I would ask the tough questions that they didn't want to answer about the systemic breakdown of security at the Capitol on January 6th. And ultimately, who's responsible for that? The Speaker of the House. They don't want to go there. They knew we were going to ask the tough questions, and that's why they blocked us from the committee.
And these are the two most effective guys. And it would be just like to put it into your kind of sports terms. It would be like the Yankees playing the Mets, and then the Yankees telling the Mets, you can't use DeGrom and Conforto.
Right.
That's what it's like.
Right.
I mean, so the Democrats, they really, really need this. They need to obsess on this January 6th for November 22, like they needed the pandemic to win 2020. They don't want to, they don't really want to solve these problems.
No.
They just want to exploit them, essentially.
It's just unbelievable when you look at it. If you're a rational person, and you don't have a horse in the race. On any given night last summer, in any one of these embattled cities, Portland, Seattle, Chicago, Atlanta, heck, right here in New York, on any given night, the damage, the death toll, the horror was twice as bad, if not more, than January 6th.
Right, and they have so far arrested 535 people for this January 6th incident, which, by the way, the Senate was back in session that night.
Right.
The worst thing since the Civil War? Excuse me, I don't think so.
Right.
And meanwhile, they have videotape of all these looters, rioters, people assaulting federal officers, cops. They have it all. Even the ones they arrested, they dropped the charges. They could still look at the videotape and go after other people, but they're not.
They're not going
to. So you talk about a two-tiered system of justice, unequal application of the law. That's what you have here in this country right now. It is really gross. And also these idiots that came up from Texas, these Democrats, for their little super spreader event, they got six people. They were carrying a case of Miller Lite, as the joke goes, but they were also carrying six cases of Corona. Because they not only infected themselves, and by the way, it's about 10% of the people who were on that jet without masks, which is a very high number for breakthrough cases. If people were vaccinated, they all vaccinated as they said they were. I mean, 10% is a high number. The usual breakthrough cases is like less than 1% of the people vaccinated. Either way.
So you're saying they're lying. They didn't get vaccinated.
Probably. But they came up and they infected not only one of Nancy Pelosi's staffer, but somebody on the White House staff. Mm. Kamala Harris went for an emergency visit to Walter Reed Hospital on Sunday. But either way, remember when Trump. He got he introduced Amy Coney Barrett and the Lawn Garden.
Yeah.
And the media just went crazy.
They said there was a super spreader.
This is what they said. Listen.
And what did we see there? Some masks, many without. Very tight together. Exactly what you're not supposed to do.
We're starting to be able to describe this as a potential super spreader event that occurred.
Some are wondering whether this was the super spreader event.
The White House Rose Garden is like the wet market of America right now.
Ooh, they're full of crap.
They're full of crap. Now, of course, Trump and two others got the COVID from that. That's three compared to the Democrats, eight. But, of course, the fake news is silent on all that. And one of these buffoons that fled Texas, that's thwarting democracy, thwarting the will of the people in Texas because they want to pass this voter integrity bill. But these people are like, well, we're not going to vote if we're going to lose, so we're going to leave. That's essentially what they did. And then one of them actually said this, Sanfronia Thompson. Listen to this lady.
We refuse to be a hostage.
That's right.
To remain a hostage within the state of Texas. And I know that there are search warrants out for us, and I'm ready to be arrested.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do to a slave if you don't do nothing but arrest them when they flee?
Oh.
We fled Texas, and if they want to arrest me, go ahead. I'm ready to be arrested.
She's staying in a $200 a night motel paid for by the Texas taxpayer. She's getting a stipend, a daily stipend of, $150 a day. It's costing the Texas taxpayers millions of dollars for these buffoons to flee Texas, these flea bags, as Miranda Devine calls them, flea bags, F-L-E-E, flea bags. She so brilliantly describes them. This one woman, she's going to challenge a Texas House of Representatives. A Republican House of Representative a member. Her name is Beth Van Dyne. She's going to get challenged. She called this lady an anti-democracy Republican. Beth Van Dyne responded to one of these flea bags who called her an anti-democracy Republican. This is what she said.
Democracy is actually when you get elected, showing up to do your job and not fleeing the country, which would stop the democracy in your state from actually moving forward. I think, democracy is when you're an elected official, you show up. It is mind-blowing to me, the quote about slavery. I mean, what they're saying is they're fleeing their job representing the constituents of Texas. That's what they consider slavery. Their job representing, that's what they're comparing it to. On a private jet with their Miller Lights, maskless, staying at a nice hotel in Washington, getting paid $200 per diem by the taxpayers in Texas. That's what they're comparing to slavery. I think there should be people who are absolutely outraged by that statement.
And it really is all backfiring on them. It's really going the wrong way. I don't care how much the media celebrates them. Last night, Joe Biden told lies about January 6th again. This is what he said on CNN. Biden 3.
I don't care if you think I'm Satan reincarnated.
No, Biden 3.
The question is whether or not we should be in a position where you are, why can't the
you were right.
Experts say, I don't care
I'm all right.
If you think I'm Satan reincarnated. The fact is, you can't look at that television and say nothing happened on the 6th. You can't listen to people who say this was a peaceful march.
Who said that?
No, I'm serious. Think about it.
Who said that?
I'm glad you asked that question.
Think of the things being said.
I'm glad you said it. So they set up a straw man. He makes a false statement. Nobody's
right.
saying that.
Nobody said that.
No.
It just wasn't as bad as what you people did night in and night out, every night for the better part of 9 months.
And in this age of decarceration and no cash bail, they just sentenced some guy who did nothing, hurt nobody.
Right.
He trespassed. They just sentenced him to 8 months.
That
meanwhile, all the rioters and looters and cop assaulters that you talked about,
yeah.
Scott Free, D.A. Vance, drop the charges. Let them out. I'm not dealing with this.
Ridiculous. Chaz Palminteri is going to be here at 7:40. It's Restaurant Week in New York. We're excited to talk to Chaz. And, of course, the Yankees start a huge four-game set in Boston tonight. 7 back of the Red Sox. The Yanks have now won 4 straight. Bill O'Reilly coming up at 8:40. And 9:40, your chance at a $100 gift card and a WABC Barry House coffee mug. It's Pete Bernie, courtesy of Pete Morgan and the fine folks at Peerless Borders. A very exciting Thursday Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. Keep it right here on Truck Radio 77 WABC.
You've called women you don't like fat pigs, dogs, slobs, and disgusting animals. Your Twitter account
only
is
Rosie
several-
O'Donnell.
Sometimes. Shout out to our good friends Dolores and her beautiful mom, Valerie Spagnola. Valerie, baby, I love you. Listening right now from somewhere in New Jersey. You know, Chaz Palminteri is going to join us coming up in about 12 minutes. And again, it is Restaurant Week. He's got 2 restaurants. Quickly, I was watching this show yesterday, Destination New York. You ever see this show, Bernie? I thought about you.
Right.
These are the shows that are right up your alley. You love this type of stuff.
I like travel type shows.
Right, exactly. You're still upset about Anthony Bourdain killing himself.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. So this Destination New York show, they talk about all these great spots in New York to go vacation. And they talk specifically yesterday in this episode about the North Fork of Long Island. I guess when you get all the way out to like Riverhead, you've got an opportunity to go to the North Fork or the South Fork.
Exactly.
So the North Fork is loaded with all these beautiful wineries. And I don't know if you know this, but
I've been to them.
You have been to them?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, well, like Pindar, for example. Not Italy, not Napa out in California. Your own, where you live, Bernie, Long Island, last year won the Wine of the Year contest in New York. And these wineries out in the North Fork are starting to become some of the better wineries, not just in the country, in the world, Long Island.
It's some of the most beautiful country, too, you'll ever see out there. The
gorgeous.
North Fork of Long Island, yeah.
So they have this one place, like I said, Pindar, and they have these like wooden chairs. And it's out in the middle of this beautiful, plush green field. And all you do is sit there, drink wine all day. To Bill O'Reilly's point, no phones. Sorry, not going to be Instagramming and texting and all that nonsense. You're going to sit there. You're going to enjoy a nice glass of wine. And you're going to figure out why you're lucky to be alive.
No. I've gone out there. My wife and I, we've gone out with friends several times. And what we do, because my wife and I, we do not drink wine.
Oh, you don't drink wine?
Nope. We bring our own beer.
No, you don't.
I swear
God,
to God.
You're so Irish. My God. I mean, you are the stereotypical.
We have Irish friends that come and they drink wine. We do not drink wine.
You can't drink beer at a winery. It's like bringing a grilled cheese sandwich to Peter Luger.
I drink what I want.
That's true. You
did. And country. That's what I did. I know it is. It is definitely like trailer park stuff.
I hate to say it.
What can I tell you? I mean, I'm not. I hate wine. I love the beautiful winery, walking around, the atmosphere, all that stuff, the ambiance. But I am not. I just don't. I don't want wine.
Listen,
I hate it. It gives you the worst freaking hangover.
It does. I'm not a big.
And it doesn't even taste good. I don't like the taste. I'm
not a big wine guy either. But I was such a raging alcoholic that I had to stop drinking booze. Right. So no more vodka, Sid. No more tequila. No more any of that stuff. So somebody went to me one day. I swear to God, before my second rehab stint, after the first rehab, before you and I were together, and I went to rehab for a second time and actually tried to kill myself, which is a whole other story. Anyway, so they go drink wine. It's not as bad. Less liquor content.
Please.
Burn. I start drinking wine. I go out for dinner. I have a glass of wine. About 2 weeks later, that glass of wine becomes two glasses of wine. About 4 weeks later, that glass of wine becomes my own bottle.
Whoever told you that is a fool. I mean, you ever hear the term wino?
I know that.
There's a reason for that.
But I bought into it because I wanted to drink something so badly. So it graduated from me from a glass to two glasses to a bottle to like 2 months later, yes. I was back selling myself on the streets of Chelsea.
Of course. Yeah, wine is not
that. Then I had to go to rehab again with you and the whole Imus days, so that was unfortunate.
And it was all precipitated by
the wine suggestion. Do you know, and we'll get to the meat of the day here for a second, that the first letter I got in rehab, the first letter I got wishing me well, you wouldn't guess this in a million years. Because I got a ton of letters. Imus talked about it every day. Joe Beningo, WFM made a big deal about it. I was in the Daily News, New York Post. The first get well letter came from who?
You got to narrow it down.
Utah. Senator, I think.
Mitt Romney?
No, not back then.
Oh, Orrin Hatch.
Yes!
Yes, yes, yes. I remember Orrin Hatch was a great friend of the show, and yeah, he felt bad for you. He certainly did. And we need people like Orrin Hatch back in the Senate. We really do, because all these people, they're cowardly. They're these Republicans, they're rhinos, all these guys. And it's just pretty sad. But anyway, Orrin Hatch was a good man. You know, speaking of the North Fork of Long Island, the South Fork, or even closer than the South Fork, places like Bayshore, Brentwood, they send a lot of these illegal immigrants. I don't know if you've seen the border recently.
No.
I mean, the people coming across, it is unbelievable. They're coming across from all parts of the globe, from Africa, the Middle East, South America, Brazil, Venezuela, Ghana. It's just Haiti. They're coming from all over the place, and they're just in the midst of COVID. In other words, we will not allow anybody in from Canada right now because of COVID restrictions. But we're letting all kinds of people, we don't know who the hell they are, come into the United States untested, unvaccinated, and then we just bus them into the interior. And one place is Shreveport, Louisiana. They bust them to Shreveport, just bust them there, drop them off. And this TV anchor, listen to the way he reported it.
We now know that the approximately 80 Haitian immigrants who were dropped off in Shreveport last week, we know more about them. Today we learned they've all been reunited with their families and friends around the U.S. And since the end of March, volunteers in Shreveport say that they have helped more than 400 migrants from 42 countries reunite with family and friends across the U.S.
You hear the
These
happy
stupid people.
The happy tone in his fake news voice.
That's great.
400 people who we don't know, unvaccinated, untested, people who came here illegal. Well, they've been reunited with their families and friends.
These people are sick.
I am telling you, man, it is so bad down there. It's actually a catastrophe, and they don't care, and it's just going to continue because nobody's stopping it. I don't know. Anyway, listen, traffic and sports is coming up next. But right now, and Chaz Palminteri.
Yeah, he just texted me, actually. He's got a couple of really big shows. September 3rd, Resorts International Atlantic City, his one-man show, voted the best show in Las Vegas by the Las Vegas Journal. So Chaz Palminteri taking that great one-man show, A Bronx Tale, back on the road.
Yeah, the great Chaz Palminteri. Right now it is time for the 77 WABC Clip of the Day, the great Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Tower show every Sunday morning at 11 here. A judge here, she talks about race relations.
Do you believe that the United States, I'm going to advance this, should fund a wide range of reparation measures to repair race relations throughout the country? It looks like once they decide that we're a racist nation with human rights violations, this high UN rapporteur or whatever they call themselves, they're going to come out and say, now you've got to make reparations. Do you believe the United States should fully fund a wide range of reparation measures to repair race relations?
Either that or just let everybody shoplift and then get their reparations that way. How about that? How about that, Judge Jeanine? How about that, Joe Nolan with traffic?
Well, I learned something today. I should lay off the duck corn, huh?
Yes.
A little bit, yeah.
That's right.
This is Sid on Sports.
Oh, my goodness!
On 77 WABC.
Here come the Yanks. The Yanks are red hot. They've won four straight. They took the last two from the Red Sox over the weekend. Now they take the short two-game series from the Phillies as well. Last night, very dramatic fashion. Hit a couple of home runs early in the game. Torres and Oder. 5-5 tie, bottom 10. and pinch hitter Ryan Lamar walked to the plate for the Yanks.
They get it done. Deep fly ball, right field. Miller back, turns, looks, and it is a walk-off single for Ryan Lamar, and the Yankees win 6-5.
My friend Michael Kay from the Yes Network, the Yankees beat the Phillies 6-5. The Yanks have now won four straight again. They're 50-44. They are seven back of Joseph Abud's division-leading Boston Red Sox, and they start a huge series against those aforementioned Boston Red Sox. Fenway Park tonight, a four-game set, the Yankees and the Red Sox. The Mets, they win, too. They win easily. Marcus Stroman was brilliant yesterday. Eight shutout innings, earned his seventh win of the season. You know, he's pitching to a 2.59 ERA. The Mets hit three home runs, including this one late.
And Luis lines that to right center field, deep. Back goes Aquino, and it's out of here! Luis Guillorme with his first home run of the season. A two-run shot to open up a 7-0 Met lead.
That's Gary Cohen, SNY. That's your final. Mets 7, Reds nothing. Mets improved to 50-43. Their lead over Philadelphia is 3.5. They enjoy an off day today. They'll host the Blue Jays in Queens coming up tomorrow. Once said no to a good friend of mine, 91-year-old former Florida State head coach Bobby Bowden, coached there for 34 years, won two championships in 93 and 99, diagnosed yesterday with a terminal illness. So prayers go out to Bobby Bowden. Sports at the bottom of the hour brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out, peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. With sports, I'm Sid. I got to meet with Frank Siller later on today. I'm going to shoot a video, actually, with Frank Siller, Tunnel to Towers Foundation. And, of course, every year I make my way September 10th to Maimonides Ballpark, the Wall of Remembrance, which my friend Sal built, and Frank Siller's brother Stephen, a heroic firefighter who died in the towers that day, is on the wall with hundreds of other cops and firemen from Brooklyn specifically. So Frank Siller and I will cut a video today. We'll have all those details coming up later. But talking about heroes and guys that we love on this show, our next guest is a dear friend for so many years and a guy that stuck by me when no one else did outside of Bernie, really. Brilliant actor, writer, director of Bronx Tale, Analyze This, every television show God ever made, from Law and Order, Godfather and Harlem Now he's making. He's just the absolute best. It is the great Chaz Palminteri. Chaz, good morning. How are you, good buddy?
Good morning, Sid and Bernie. How are you?
Well, great. Hello. We're there, great. There's so much going on. I was thinking about you, Yankees, Red Sox, Restaurant Week, the mayor race, but we may as well start with Restaurant Week because
yes.
I do commercials every day on this show for Jack, Empire Steakhouse, and in the commercial, I include you, which Jack didn't give me the okay to do, but I do it anyway. And I say that if you don't believe me how good Jack's restaurant is, why would Chaz, who has two amazing restaurants, one in the Theater District and one in Westchester, include him as a partner if he wasn't great? So just so you know, Chaz, I've taken the liberty to include you because you know he's great, which in part makes your restaurants great.
Yes, yes. I mean, for years people have been trying to get me into the restaurant business, and I always said no. But when I met Jack, I just saw the way he ran a restaurant, always top shelf, always the customer first, best food, always the best food. So I just said, okay, it was the perfect scenario, and that's why I did it. That's why I was successful, even though so many restaurants, I feel so bad of failing because of the pandemic, what happened. But we are still going strong in Manhattan, 30 West 46th Street in White Plains, New York. 264 Main Street, and you know, my name's on it, so it's got to be great. That's it. That's the deal.
Have you made a dish yet named it after me and Bernie? Some entree like the Bernie and Sid Parmesan something or other? I don't know. It'd be nice.
No, we didn't think of that, but you know what? I will talk to Jack about that, and we'll come up with something. I think that's a great idea.
Thank you.
Spaghetti and two meatballs. Very simple.
I love it.
The Bernie and Sid right there. Hey, Chaz Palminteri,
like
listen, you also, well, we'll talk about your podcast in a little bit, but back to the restaurant thing. Are you suffering from a worker labor shortage like a lot of restaurants in the tri-state area?
Are you kidding me? We had 10, I remember Jack, I spoke to Jack yesterday. He said we had 10 people call, we made 7 appointments, nobody showed up.
Wow.
No,
so it's
none
real.
Of the 7.
Wow.
Yes. We had people walking in there saying, you know what? I need this job, but you got to give me till a couple of more months. They're collecting. They don't want to come back to work.
No, $800
exactly right.
$800 through September. There's no way to get him in. There's no way to get him, right?
I don't want to come back. And not just me. I speak to other people who own restaurants. Everybody the same thing. Cannot find anybody. Cannot find
anybody. It's amazing. It's just wasting money, ruining businesses like that. Some businesses can't cope with this. I mean, that's why a lot of service is slow and a lot of restaurants as well.
Yes.
You can thank the clowns down in D.C.
You know what? In the long run, it's really hurting us. Look, I know people need money, and obviously, sure, people need a hand up, and I understand that. But now people got to get back to work because you just can't sit back and collect checks from the government. You just can't. You can't do it.
Well, I know, Chaz, that you've been on the show with us many, many, many times, me and Bernie, and you tend not to delve too much into politics because you've got friends on both sides, and it's a no-win situation for you.
Yeah, but I've always been apolitical. You know, that's just the way I've been. I'm an actor, writer.
You're smart.
I'm a director.
You're smart.
This is what I do. You know, I keep my political views to myself. That's why the voting booth is closed. You go in there, you shut the thing, and you vote.
No, listen, you know, I couldn't agree more, but you do love this city, and you're aware of the crime and all the issues going on. And you do have two guys in Eric Adams and Curtis Sliwa who are both very aware of that, and both of their campaigns are all about fighting crime in this city. So I would imagine without you making a choice on air, which you'll never do, and I don't want you to. I don't want you to do that, by the way, that at least you have to be happy that both of those guys are addressing the biggest issue in New York.
Oh, I'm ecstatic about it, you know. But Eric, obviously Eric Adams, and of course Curtis. The thing I love about Curtis has been fighting crime since he was a boy, you know.
Right.
So Curtis was in the street, just the same as Eric. Eric was a police officer. They both feel this way, and that's great. But you know what? Every politician starts off saying this. Please, but could they do it? That's all. Once they become mayor, once they become president, then they just become part of the system, and that's what I get worried about. I mean, look, you see the way the city is. This is insane. This is crazy. I mean, this is my city, New York. I mean, come on, they got to get it back to the way it was, man, because people won't come. People won't come. It's a domino effect. People don't come. People don't go to Broadway. Broadway suffers. The restaurants suffer. New York suffers. It's a domino effect. You have got. I saw these film. I saw this thing on yesterday on the news where they had people just walking out of stores in San Francisco.
Oh yeah,
with shopping carts.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier. Yeah, well, actually,
not running, walking.
We posted that to our Bernie and Sid Facebook and Twitter page. We talked about that earlier. Yeah, you're right. It's incredible. That was in California, but also right here in New York, and we may post this as well in Times Square near your restaurant. They had these ATVs and dirt bikes flying up and down 7th Avenue and Broadway against the flow of traffic with all these NYPD squad cars sitting around just brazenly breaking the law. I mean, doing wheelies, making a lot of noise and suffering no consequences whatsoever.
Well, you know, I feel so bad for the cops. The cops' hands are tied. I mean, they're just tied. They can't do anything. I mean, if they do anything, they're guilty. If they don't do anything, they're guilty. You know, I mean, look, you know me. Everybody knows how I feel about the NYPD. You know, to me, when they say the best police force in the world, they are. You know, they are. They just can't do anything. Somebody's got to come in here and say, look, we have to clean up the city. It can be done.
Yeah.
They did it before. They did it in the 70s. They did it.
Right. Giuliani did it.
You have to do it.
Right. Giuliani did it. Bloomberg did it.
Giuliani did it. Right. Yeah. Rudy did it. Like, you know, even Bloomberg.
Bloomberg was
too. Tough on crime.
Yeah. Like our boss, John Catsimatidis, always says, take the handcuffs off the cops, put them back on the criminals.
It's not rocket science.
No. The great actor, writer, director, Chaz Palminteri. So, you know, the Mets are in first place. And they're having this great season. The Yankees, it seems like they're having this terrible, terrible season. If I told you, Chaz, that right now the Mets record is 50-43, the Yankees are 50-44. They are basically identical, but the Mets play inside a really crappy division, the NL East, and the Yankees play with the Red Sox and the Rays, but they actually have almost identical records, and the Yankees start a huge four-game set, Chaz, at Fenway tonight. How big is that for you?
Big, huge. That's huge tonight. I'll be in front of the TV. I was in front of the TV last night watching them, you know, pull out that game in the 10th inning, 11th inning, I think it was. But I can't stand this guy on second. I don't even want to get into that. But thank God they won. Thank God they won. You know, these young kids are coming up now, and they're doing a great job for the Yankees. You know, they're doing a great job. I mean, a lot of people go, well, you got to keep the young kids. Look, the young kids are great. But come on, let's get the regulars back in here. The young kids are great, but, you know, on a four-game stretch, sure, somebody can get hot. But you got to, you know, I can't wait to get back our regulars.
And Chaz Palminteri, you also have a great podcast, the Chaz Palminteri Show. It's at Chaz Palminteri on Twitter. Tell us a little bit about your podcast, please.
My podcast, yeah, it's really just blowing up. I had so many great guests, Alan Menken, the Academy Award winner, Billy Joel. And also, I talk about life lessons. And I got this new episodes that I do now. It's called Old School. So I get these old school guys, my friend Sandy Blue Eyes, my friend Squiggy, Rafi Squiggy, Squillante, and I bring these guys on. And when they talk about old school the way it used to be, and it's hysterical. I mean, it's just hysterical.
Are these guys straight from like the Bronx, like when you're growing up, like the Sonny character?
Oh, yeah, no. I they're both guys that I knew for many, many years. You know, so it's just funny. I mean, they come on, they talk about old school.
I love that.
So, a lot of my show was life lessons. When I do my life lessons about life, it's on the Chaz Palminteri Show. It's on YouTube. If you go to my Instagram, Chaz Palminteri, you can see the links. You can get it on all the podcasts, the links. But it's really blowing up, and it's really doing just great. I'm really loving it.
It's a great show. I watch it every Monday. It's a great show. So just so you know, to this day, my son Gabriel, who will be bar mitzvahed and turns 13 in November, he's a very sensitive kid. You know Gaby Chaz. He's a sensitive kid. But the kid has only cried once in his lifetime watching a movie. I swear to God, he's only cried once, and that's when Sonny died. And I keep having to explain to Gabe that Sonny, although a very likable guy and a very smart guy, he had some good messages, wasn't a great guy.
No, I mean, look, Sonny was who he was. I've always told people that. You know, and when Sonny died, he had to die in the movie. And people always tell me, why didn't you make Sonny die? I go, he has to die because it's a catharsis. The boy understands that Sonny dies, and the boy has to move on with his father. And that was very important. The studio didn't want Sonny to die when we made the movie. But I said, that's impossible.
No, it was perfect. Sonny's, right. It was perfect.
He has to die.
So as good as the
only Broadway play or movie that begins with a murder and ends with a murder.
But I always say, as good as the movie was with you and De Niro and all these great actors, and as good as the Broadway show was, nothing compares to the work that you do, the one-man show, which returns to Atlantic City September the 3rd, Resorts. I know it's just voted the best show in Las Vegas, Las Vegas Journal. I've been saying this for years, since I saw it in Pompano over 10 years ago. The one-man show it's remarkable. It really is, Chaz.
Yeah, no, I hate to say it, yes, but it is. And I always talk about the one-man show because people have always said, I love the movie, I love the musical, but the one-man show, I still talk about it. I can't get over it. You know, and for people who want to see it, they can go to chazpalminteri.net. And my whole schedule is there. I'll be in Millville, New Jersey, July 30th to July 30th, Millville, New Jersey, at the Lavoie Theater. But then, obviously, if you want to see the show, go to chazpalminteri.net, and my whole schedule is up there.
There Fantastic. He is, the Chaz Palminteri, yes. Restaurateur, actor, but great guy overall, just the best guy, nicest guy in the world. Thank you, Chaz.
Excellent job.
Thank you. Listen, it's a pleasure. You guys are New York. When I think of Bernie and Sid, I think of New York. I can't have New York without Bernie and Sid. I mean that sincerely. You know, you guys are fans. You guys are, you really get to the heart of what it is. It's no BS. You say it the way it is. What your political views are, you say the truth. You say, why is this happening? Please tell us why. And that's what I love about you guys.
Oh, man, we love you even more. There's a promo right there. Chaz Palminteri promo. Hey, we love you. Good luck again. Continued
Thanks,
success.
Guys.
All right, buddy. We'll see you. See you at the restaurant here in the Theater District. White Plains Podcast, one-man show. Chaz Palminteri. And as Bernie said, not just a brilliant guy, but a sweetheart, a real sweetheart. More to come today, including Bill O'Reilly and Beat Bernie. It's the Thursday edition of Bernie and Sid. I'm going to give Wendy Williams a run for her money. Back to the podcast for Bernie and Sid today. Bernie does an audio one. I'll be doing my video one. But it's going to be like a Hot Topics sort of thing. So which I was on Wendy Williams' show about a month and a half ago doing that Hot Topics segment, and she promised me many, many returns come next season. But I'm doing my own little deal here.
How you doing?
I'm fine, thanks, Wendy. At 77 WABC, and we'll discuss a whole bunch of stuff today. That's coming up after the show. More details to come later. We've got a great hour coming up. Lydia Reports, 8:25. She's always terrific. Does a great job herself, Lydia Serrani. 4 p.m. every weekday and sits alongside John Katzimatidis at 5. Then Bill O'Reilly coming up at 8:40. But I do have two questions for Bernard. The Olympics starts tomorrow. I couldn't care less. Never been a big Olympics guy. I like the Winter Olympics. I shouldn't say that. The last time I got caught up in the Summer Olympics was probably Mary Lou Retton, Lionel Richie, 1984, Los Angeles. Swimming and track and field, just for me, it doesn't do it, but I love the winter stuff. And when you combine that with this, like, Gwen Berry, this hateful American who turns her back to the national anthem. I actually had a disagreement with Juliet Huddy, shocker, this morning about that. She claimed that she only thinks the song is racist, not the country.
Right.
Which is silly. The fact is, if you can't respect the flag and the song and all that now as an American athlete, then just go home. Just go home. Bottom line.
Or go play for Cuba.
Right. Exactly. So she makes me sick, to be honest. And this man who says he's a woman, so he's able to compete in a weightlifting competition, that's equally as nauseating. And then you combine all of that with the women's soccer team, these ingrates, these ungrateful sons of bitches. And I'm so happy they lost to Sweden yesterday. I'm rooting against the Americans. They lost to Sweden. I couldn't be happier. I don't care that Sweden knelt. I care about the United States. They continue to kneel, led by, as Bernie says, this Megan Rapinoe. So here come the Olympics. And I got to tell you, I hope they cancel them. I really do.
So do I.
You do, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they lost, what did you say, 3-0 to
Sweden? Yeah.
Yeah, these spoiled, ingrate, ignorant, no good soccer players that kneel. I mean, it's just half of America is rooting against the team.
I know. Now listen,
rooting against our own team.
There's a lot of good kids that do love America, that put their hand on their heart for the national anthem, that don't kneel, that are aware of the opportunities. And I felt badly saying this because some of those kids have worked their whole lives to get to Tokyo. I understand that. And my heart breaks for those kids. But you've heard this before. One rotten apple destroys the whole thing. And in this case, we got more than one rotten apple.
Yeah, you got that purple-haired lesbian. She's the ringleader. She's the malcontent.
That's Rapinoe.
Yeah. She lives like royalty. She should be kissing the ground she walks on. There are people coming from around the globe to trek through the Mexican desert to walk through our borders to get into this damn country. And this fool, this idiot, is making us a laughingstock on the world stage, embarrassing our country by trying to claim something that's not true.
Right.
Just not true.
Just not true.
And it really is infuriating.
Good. So we agree on that one. Here's the second one. I'm not sure we're going to agree here because you and I are both against cancel culture because at points in our careers, we both have been canceled. And as you know, I'm not exaggerating, Bernie, ever since my ill-fated Venus Serena jokes on Imus back in 2000, 21 years later, you know this, there are still certain jobs I can't get because of that one moment in time on Imus. And that's part of the whole cancel culture. But they did fire yesterday the guy that's in charge of the opening ceremony, NBC. That's a big deal at the Olympics. And they usually get very, very high ratings, and they make a very, very big show of it. He was fired yesterday for a joke he made about the Holocaust back in 1998. So here's where I'm going to be a big hypocrite, Sid Rosenberg. But you always make fun of me, Bernie, because you say the Israel thing, the Jewish thing always comes first. Believe it or not, even though he made the joke 23 years ago, and I am against cancel culture, I'm okay with him getting fired.
Oh, was it? What was the joke?
About the Holocaust.
Oh, was it really?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not that familiar with that, so.
But is there a time, statute of limitations? 23 years is a long time. Should the guy have been fired for what he said 23 years ago?
No. If he apologized, absolutely.
Really? See, I think the Holocaust, you can't go there. 9/11, you can't go there. Holocaust, you can't go there. That's just me being
inconsistent.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, okay. Hey, listen, there is some good news. There is some good news out there about this country. I swear to God, this is true. And this sick poison that they're trying to teach our kids. It was revealed yesterday that the Department of Education, Joe Biden's Department of Education, they had linked on their website to something called the Abolitionist Teaching Network's, listen to this, quote, Guide for Racial Justice and abolitionist social and emotional learning. And it was a roadmap for schools to reopen, blah, blah, blah. But the guide called for a, quote, commitment to learning from students, families, and educators who disrupt whiteness and other forms of oppression. I swear to God. And so it's called the Abolitionist Teachers Network. And it's one idiot that's on this network. This is what she said. Listen to her.
Abolitionist Teacher Network, a network that's dedicated to not creating new schools or reimagining schools, but destroying schools that do nothing but harm black and brown children.
Well, you can't really understand what she's saying. What she's talking about, she's for destroying schools, not rebuilding them. Talking about white supremacy, blah, blah, blah. And then there was this one white teacher. Hopefully you can understand what she's saying. Listen to her.
So one of the things that I bring to this work is a significant history of trying to trouble my own racial identity and trying to help other white teachers trouble their internalized white supremacy and anti-blackness.
She was with this abolitionist teaching network that they were going to push this on schools. They had a handbook they were going to send out to all the public schools in the country. And it was exposed yesterday, and they backtracked. They actually said, this is what the Biden DOE said. The department does not endorse the recommendations of this group, nor do they reflect our policy positions. It was an error in a lengthy document to include this citation. But this is their mentality. They just got caught.
Yep.
CRT
yep.
is a loser at the polls. They know that. They're in trouble. So that's why they backtracked yesterday. But still, that's the mentality of the education establishment. We know it's been in academia now. It's K through 12, sadly. And none other than the brilliant Candace Owens commented on what they're doing. For example, getting rid of advanced math because, well, it's racist. Take a listen to her.
What they're really trying to do is replace hard academics. I'm talking about engineering, mathematics, all that stuff is now a form of white supremacy. They don't want kids to get the right answer. They want them to focus on emotional learning, right? Because emotional learning is not rational learning. People that learn emotionally don't tend to go off and become successful individuals. Rather, people that learn emotionally turn to become angry, radical, Antifa-throwing, BLM-burning individuals. And those people are very easily targeted by the government. And that's what the Biden regime wants. They really want people to do whatever they say, to be angry pawns for their government schemes.
So she's absolutely right about that. The parents at the school board meetings have been really instrumental in, you know, ginning up or exposing, I should say, but getting people angry and aware at what's happening in these schools. And that's what inspired the Biden administration, again, to backtrack because they know it's a loser at the polls. It's poison is what it is from these woke-tards. And just one more from Candace Owen on the dumbing down of schools. Listen to this.
I don't think this watering down of the education system is going to stop. Actually, I think we're just seeing the beginning of it. And it's unfortunate. People need to realize that right now in American society, and this is a fact, we've never handed out more degrees ever in American society, and yet we've never produced kids that are this dumb. And I mean this by statistic. I'm talking about by standardized test scores. These kids are not becoming smarter, and yet they're getting more and more degrees, and that's by design. They want these kids to be convinced of their own rationality, be convinced that they're so smart, and then be shocked when they can't make any money because you actually can't make that money as a gender studies or an LGBT studies major for 4 years. That's not just not what society needs. I need somebody to fix my AC, not to come over and tell me that there's 26,000 genders and you can be non-binary. So these kids end up angry. They think they're mad at capitalism. They think they're mad at free markets. What they should be mad at are Democrats.
That brilliant. Is brilliant. She's
absolutely.
So good.
I'm
She's so
you.
Good.
Telling
we have like, you. We have like 9 really good calls. I want to get to all of these. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222 before Brian Kilmeade takes over at 10. But sticking with what you're talking about just now, Bernard, here's on line 7, John, in a very lovely place, Saddle River, New Jersey. Good morning, John. What's on your mind, pal?
Hey, how's it going? Long-time fan, first-time caller, although I called the other day. You know, one of the things that I've been thinking about long and hard because I have 3 young children. I have an 8-year-old daughter, 7-year-old daughter, and a 3-year-old son. And I am convinced that these radical policies that are in place are nothing more than to further divide us. As you're probably well aware of, New Jersey, starting as of March 2nd, they legislated that we have to have social justice and LGBTQ education from the age of 5, kindergarten,
right,
to 12th grade, and in public schools. Now, mind you, here's the other caveat to that. I work for the company. I work for Gilead Sciences. I've been with them for 18 years.
John, I love you, but I can't. We love you, but when you call the radio show, you got to make your point very, very quickly. We have no time for autobiography, so we love you. Thank you for listening. Your question was, Sid, critical race theory. How does a biracial child deal with it? And the answer is it has nothing to do with whether the child is biracial or not. You would hope that the parents of these children explain to these kids that what they are teaching you in school is toxic, it's incorrect, nasty, and it further divides America.
What he said, though, he's right. It's designed to divide us. And his question, it's interesting. He said, how does a biracial kid, because it divides kids into camps. You're white or you're black. If you're white, you're racist. You're born racist. If you're black, you're born a victim and you cannot make it in this country.
Right.
So if you're biracial, then what category are you in?
Wow.
I mean, it's really, it's so stupid. Teach them the three R's. As a matter of fact, the four R's, reading, writing, arithmetic, and respect, and everything else, leave it out. No politics, no race, no nothing.
Isn't arithmetic with an A?
Well, you've heard the phrase before, right? The three R's.
No, it's funny. Arithmetic works fine. Bill O'Reilly is going to join us at 8:40, but coming up next, it's Lydia Reports on this, a very entertaining Thursday edition of Bernie and Sid.
This is Lydia Reports on 77 WABC. Here's Lydia Serrani.
This report is sponsored by LifeVac. One child dies every 5 days from choking, your world. It can change just like that. And as a parent myself of little Julia, I wanted to protect her as well as my entire family. I have an elderly dad, so I purchased this device. I went to lifevac.net, and you can use code WABC for 10% off. That's lifevac.net. We keep hearing about all these positive COVID tests. Well, there's a woman from the Bronx. Her name is Laura Angelo, and she's been described on the internet as hashtag Karen of the Sea. And the reason, you know, Karen, it's a negative term for a white person because she lost it. She was on a Royal Caribbean cruise for a friend's birthday. She's not vaccinated, but she did have COVID back in March. She followed the exact protocol. She had a negative COVID test right before she went on board. They ended up giving her a purple bracelet. And she said, oh, is this for people that are not vaccinated? They said yes. And then it turns out that it was for people that are not vaccinated. So then they tested her again once she got on the boat. Take a listen and hear what happened next.
They said, as long as you have a negative 72 hours before, you don't have to. So we did. I have three negatives before the cruise. We give our passport, we give our negative COVID test, they hand us the bracelet. I said, is this for non-vaccinated people? The guy said yes. Called me up and said my test was positive. I laughed. My test can't be positive. There's no way in the world.
So when she came home, they saran wrap. So first of all, they escorted her off the boat in hazmat suits. Then they saran wrapped all of her luggage and escorted her and her friends off. So as soon as she got off the boat, she went and got three more PCR tests, not just the rapid test, PCR, and they were all negative. So either that test was faulty or the boat just wanted to kick her off because it turned out positive. It's just really bizarre, this whole situation, because you keep hearing this more and more about people saying that they're getting positive test results and there's no way that could possibly be.
Very interesting. I'm perplexed myself, Lydia. Listen, you mentioned she named herself Karen of the Sea, and that is a phrase now that's used to describe or characterize an angry white woman. And it is a racist. That's a racist term, right? If you classify somebody by their race.
Yep.
Let's say we needed a name for an angry black woman, right? Let me just pull one out of my hat. Say we said, hey, she's a Michelle. That would be racist, right?
Yes.
Well, they say that black people can't be racist.
Right.
That's what a lot of people
do. No, black people say that.
Who cares what they say? Racism is racism. That's what the critical race theory is.
They react to racism. They're not racist. White people are racist.
Yeah,
yeah. They
say a lot of lies, but we know the truth,
right,
which is that you can be racist, and they are racist. There are a lot of racists. Now, you hear them, these CRT people, Ibram Kendi, he's a racist.
I'm going to say this at the risk of aggravating some people, and I'm going to say this based on percentage, because there's a lot more white people than black people, obviously. But based on percentage, I really believe that black people are more racist than white people. I really don't.
It's quite possible.
Yeah.
Back to the COVID. By the way, I just saw a video of the First Lady, Jill Biden, Dr. Jill Biden, landing in Tokyo. She's coming off the plane and the wind is whipping. It's whipping. Like her hair is flying all over the place and she's got this big, thick mask on her face, this
like
diaper.
What
do they think? I mean, this is such, you got vaccinated and you're telling people to get vaccinated and yet it's super windy. You're high up there alone and you're coming down with this like thick mask on.
Well, but by the way,
explain to me what's going on?
That may be Tokyo maybe making her do that. I think that's Tokyo.
It doesn't matter. I would say no. They can't force her to wear it.
That you can't.
Well, they have a problem there because they don't have the vaccine. They have a very low rate of vaccinated
people. But she's vaccinated.
But I agree. If you're outdoors, you don't need a damn mask. We said that all through the pandemic.
The CDC said it.
Yeah. The CDC says that for the United States now because we have the vaccine. But you're right. You're right. Outdoors, you don't need a mask. It's stupid. It's virtue signaling. Whatever it is, it's symbolic. She's trying to say, yeah, I'm complying.
Woke.
Yeah, I'm woke. Whatever the hell it is. But back to the speaking of masks, Dr. Fauci was the other day. He was saying that kids 2 years old and up should be wearing masks, despite the science, which says, and it was in the JAMA pediatric study, that the kids, after wearing a mask for 3 minutes, have a very high level of CO2 in their blood, which is very unhealthy. And Dr. Fauci completely ignores that. Also, you probably played this on your show. We played a little bit yesterday, but Matt Meaney did a great job editing down this Rand Paul versus Tony Fauci on denying that he funded this gain-of-function research, which resulted in the virus. Matt Meaney squeezed it down into the best clips. Take a listen to this.
Dr. Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement.
You take an animal virus and you increase its transmissibility to humans,
right?
You're saying that's not gain of function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about.
They took animal viruses that only occur in animals and they increased their transmissibility to humans. How you can say that is not gain of function?
It is not.
It's a dance and you're dancing around this because you're trying to obscure responsibility for 4 million people dying around the world.
You are implying that what we did was responsible for the deaths of individuals.
Yes.
I totally resent
and it could
that.
Have been.
And if anybody
and
is lying
been.
Here, Senator, it is you.
Yep. Nope. Fauci funded it, the research at the Wuhan lab. He labeled it something else to get around the rules. But he did say a few years ago that even if this research caused a pandemic, he said this, that gain-of-function research would be worth it. He actually said that. And anyway, Rand Paul said this about his testimony in front of Congress. Take a listen.
And I will be sending a letter to the Department of Justice asking for a criminal referral because he has lied to Congress. We have scientists that will line up by the dozens to say that the research he was funding was gain of function. He's doing this because he has a self-interest to cover his tracks and to cover his connection to Wuhan Lab.
I mean, it's an awesome burden to have on your shoulders that you enabled this virus to disable to, you know, it was disable the globe
run wild
for a year and a half.
Yeah.
And still, we're still suffering the effects of it. And Dr. Fauci is one of the, you can point to him. He's maybe the face of it.
Yep.
He enabled the Chinese to do this.
Yep.
Without tax dollars.
Question for you. How much money you think his book deal is? It $5 million like Cuomo or what? Cause he want, that's why I think he is trying to make it seem like he's so innocent and there was no gain of function going on there in the Wuhan lab and he didn't know anything about it and he didn't enable the deaths of 4 million people worldwide. God only knows how much, cause his book is coming out in the fall.
I gotta
so
say,
he doesn't want to jeopardize
I'm gonna
that.
Say somewhere in between Andrew Cuomo's $5 million and Prince Harry's $20 million is Anthony Fauci and me.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
It really is gross. But the two of them, the media darlings, such a fall from grace. Anthony Fauci is responsible for more deaths and, well, just destruction of livelihoods and, you know, all kinds of mental statuses, all this stuff. Dr. Fauci is responsible for more of that than Governor Cuomo. I will say that. But the fact that they were such media darlings in the past, remember when they were comparing themselves to movie stars?
Maybe right, De Niro.
You. I'll do it with you. We'll do an ad telling New Yorkers it's safe to take the vaccine. To you know, put us together. We're like the modern day De Niro God. And Pacino. You can be whichever you want. You can be the De Niro or Pacino, Fauci and Cuomo. I'll give you a firm boy. Who do you want to be, De Niro or Pacino? Oh, which one do you want to be?
I love them both. I don't want to insult one or the other. If I say one, I don't want to hurt the feelings of the other.
Yeah.
Now, millions of people dying around the world that can't breathe and they're taking their last breaths.
and now you have Fauci was sitting. He was actually his lips were quivering. His fingers were shaking. He was probably crapping his pants because he knows he has this on his shoulders. He knows he has this, you know, blood on his hands. He knows it. And he's been exposed. And that's why he's freaking out. That's why he freaked out that day against Rand Paul and Governor Cuomo. Of course, he hides it well, but he knows. He knows he's in trouble. He knows he knows the fall from grace he experienced. All those millions in the world still not worth what these guys are going through right now. So take solace in that.
Well, they're going to burn in hell. They can't take that money with them.
That's
so.
Right. Very good. Very well said, Lydia.
There you
Absolutely.
Go. So don't you know? Everybody gets theirs in the end. We all end up in the dirt, 6 feet under.
Yeah.
Even Bezos, even the space cowboy himself. This report is sponsored by LifeVac. One child dies every 5 days from choking. It's a horrific statistic that you can prevent. Sid Rosenberg, I know you're on this too with Arthur Lee, saving lives. As a parent myself, protect your entire family. Go to LifeVac.net. Use code WABC for 10% off. That's LifeVac.net.
Not just me, but yesterday Bernie and I had the chance to speak to former Beverly Hills of Orange County alum Gretchen Rossi, and she has now become the face and the voice of LifeVac. So, yes. Great job, Lydia. Thank you so
awesome.
Much.
Yep.
Yes, as always, Lydia Serrano, 4 o'clock on 77 WABC, Monday through Friday. Then again with Cats at Night at 5 o'clock. She's terrific.
He was the best. He still is the best. He'll always be the best. The only place to get your news, folks, is BillO'Reilly.com. That's it. Interviews of great TV shows. All the work he does, his columns, including this one, Mi Casa, Su Casa, this week, is the best stuff you'll ever read. His killing series continues to kill it. Killing the Mob, of course, the latest of all his great books. He's got another one coming out shortly, by the way. Also, this tour coming up with President Trump, Florida, Texas, coming this fall to a theater near you. He is the highlight of the week on this show and the highlight of WABC every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. The man, Bill O'Reilly. Good morning, Bill.
You know, Sid, I tell everybody that Sid sent me, and then they go, well, you can't come in.
That's funny. That's funny.
Oh, that's funny and true in a lot of places.
it's a double-edged sword here. Now, when I say Bernie sent me, then people flee. They run. They just run. Right.
Hey, listen, I'm just glad, Bill, you didn't slip into a coma after watching Joe Biden last night, which you were live tweeting during. I was following it at the time, in real time. So tell us your thoughts on that.
Well, it was painful. I learned two things, but the problem with President Biden is he can't hold a thought in his mind, and I'm not being nasty or sarcastic or anything. So when you ask him a question, the first sentence or two may pertain to the question, but then he's off into areas that, if you were just looking at it from a sociological point of view, you know, all of a sudden his sister-in-law is in the answer. The guy who cuts his lawn makes an appearance. You know, I mean, he's all over the place. It's called stream of consciousness. And so by the time he's finished, you don't know what the question was. Nobody knows what the point he's trying to make is. He said two things last night that I'm going to concentrate on the no-spin news tonight. Number one, the children, he wants children under the age of 12 to wear masks in school. Well, I don't want that, and I think that's harmful to the children. They certainly don't want it. And the second thing is that he is fully woke, President Biden is about policing. So President Biden wants the cops to kind of bring along a few therapists, maybe the guy who makes some bagels, maybe an accountant. They're all in the back seat of the cop car when they answer the call. I mean, this is just insane. I'm going, are you kidding? And under the banner of community policing, this is what President Biden was telling the nation. Now, that's a woke position. So now I say, oh, this is the guy who was the tough anti-crime senator. You'll all remember that. We're going to put those thugs away. You're never going to see them. I don't care if they have bad upbringings. That was him. Well, now he's got the little magic dust on him, and he's woke.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Yep. So I went, aha, that you can forget about any kind of cogent, responsible problem solving in the violent crime area from President Biden. It is not going to happen.
No. His wife just landed in Tokyo, by the way. Now, you and I are both huge sports fans. So is Bernie. We enjoy the Mets and the Giants and all that good stuff. I am a fan of the Olympics. In the past, I've had athletes I really fall in love with, people like Brian Boitano, Mary Lou Retton. But I'm not an overly enthusiastic fan. This year, I can't stand it. Gwen Berry, of course, turning her back on the national anthem. The women's soccer team actually rooted against them yesterday. I was glad they lost. They knelt for the national anthem. Men lifting weights against women. I mean, this Olympics to me is a complete mess. I can't even full-heartedly root for my own country. How does Bill O'Reilly feel about these upcoming Olympics?
I thought they should be canceled because only 23% of the Japanese people have been vaxxed. And all of a sudden, we have now double digits in the Olympic arena of people who have gotten COVID over there. So, you know, now I guess, you know, when they're going to do the track and field, you just have people running the 100-yard dash and they'll collapse from COVID in 30 yards. Oh, there's another COVID casualty. So I'm not jazzed about it. I may look in on a few events. I like the swimming. I'm a swimmer myself. I'm rooting for the Americans, obviously, USA. But I'm glad that the U.S. women's soccer team lost to Sweden 3-0.
Yes.
But here's how bad that is. There's no ground in Sweden. They have to practice on glaciers, all right, on snow. There's no, like, dirt, all right? It's so cold. And they kicked, I don't know if I'm allowed to say, the butts of the U.S. women's soccer team. I don't think I can say that. But anyway, and the reason is that these ladies, led by Megan Rapinoe, are very anti-American. They don't like their country at all. And that's the culture. And so I think the Swedish team likes America better than the U.S. team does. So I was rooting for the Swedish team.
Amazing. And you're not alone. Half of America, I'm sure, was rooting for the Swedish team. Back to Biden for a minute, Bill O'Reilly. As you observed, he's a total puppet for the wokesters in his administration. He's weak. He may be half brain dead. You heard him last night stumbling around. So the 25th Amendment is looming. And of course, Kamala is lying in wait. And you had an interesting, interesting thoughts at BillO'Reilly.com the other night about Kamala. Would you be so kind as to share them with our audience right now?
Well, a new poll on her says that even Democrats don't think she's ready to be president. And I told you guys from the very beginning, and my audience as well, that there's no love lost between Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. After she literally threw him under the desegregation bus in that That Little Girl Was Me primary thing. Biden's a guy, you know, he looks genial out there, and he looks like, oh, there's Uncle Joe, what a nice guy. You cross Biden, it's a lot like Barack Obama. You cross them, and Donald Trump, you know, we have to throw that in. You cross those guys, they don't forget. So Kamala is basically being iced out. Even though she's at the lunches and the briefings and all of that, she does, you know, have access. But as far as her being in charge of anything, She doesn't want the border. She obviously makes that quite clear. She's not going to do anything at the border. So if people are saying, oh, we're going to get Kamala to replace Joe, I don't think that's ever going to happen. And this is no joke. I'm not being facetious. How many times did he say that? How many times? I got a list tonight. I'm going to go over the list of this is no joke. I'm not being facetious. Look, we got it, Joe, okay? I mean, it's just he repeats the same phrases over and over and over and over. And when someone does that in public speaking, and you guys make a living public speaking, when you repeat the same thing over and over again, it means that your brain isn't sending unique words to your mouth. It's basically a condition. Nobody knows this, but the best people, all right, are the people who have disciplined themselves that I have a thought, it's now going to come out of my mouth in words, and the words are going to be very precise. That's how you persuade. Yeah. But in the Biden mechanism, and I think, to be fair, it's always been that way. He's never been, you know, a guy who could give a speech and stir people up.
No.
And here's the deal. Joe doesn't have the talent to do it.
No, he doesn't. But the guy that you're going to be with in two cities in Texas and two cities in Florida come this fall, he may have been the best ever at it. That's how good he was at that. And of course, we're talking about former President Donald Trump, who I know you spoke to, I want to say, the week before last. Have you spoken to him again recently?
Yes. I've talked to him once after that. I don't call him. I mean, people need to know that if the president, the 45th president, wants to talk to me, he calls me or his people, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, so wait a second. So you're sitting at home on Long Island or Montauk, wherever you are, and your cell phone rings and it's Trump.
Oh, this was, it's really interesting you bring that up. So I'm sitting in an outdoor in Gosman's in Montauk. I'm outside having fried clams and chowder with my son and a couple other people. And the phone rings, and I look at it, it's him. Right? So here, there I am. I got my big lemonade. I'm crunching. And I go, Mr. President, how are you? And then he launches. It's like, hey, can you talk now? No. No. So I put him on speaker so the whole platform could hear him. And he really turned around going, what? And that voice sounds familiar.
That's amazing.
You know? And then, of course, I took it off when he started to get into stuff that I had to talk to him about. But he'll call anytime, anywhere, any place, and it's not, hey, O'Reilly, how you doing? Do you have a couple of minutes to talk? No. It's like, did you hear what Biden said? You know, it's like, oh, my God.
That's incredible.
But the interesting thing about Donald Trump and the way he communicates is it is like Biden in the sense it's a stream of consciousness, too. So he'll start to roll on something, and then something will occur to him. And then all of a sudden, we're somewhere else. But he has more of a ability to focus on his central point. See, Biden loses track of what the point is.
Right.
Plus, he's funny. Like,
and everybody can identify with this. Thanksgiving dinner, and there's Uncle Ned. And no one wants Uncle Ned to participate in the conversation because all of a sudden Uncle Ned has taken you back to the Civil War and you don't know why. You don't know. All you want to do is have an engaging conversation about Lady Gaga. And then Uncle Ned has got you in Albania. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what Biden was last night. I have my pad and my pen. And I'm taking notes, and I can't take notes. I'm going, what is this now? What is he saying now? What is this?
Can't wait to see the ratings for that disaster last night. I'm sure they were horrific.
I didn't even know it was on. I got to be honest. I was watching the Mets and the Mets and the Reds. The replay, by the way. So, Bill, excellent job as always today. We love you. We love having you on. We'll be listening at 9 o'clock tonight, and we'll be at BillO'Reilly.com tonight as well. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend. Thanks for having me in.
You got it. The great Bill O'Reilly. And go buy that book, too, The Killing of the Mob. That is a great book. He's got a new one coming out, I think it's September, which he's intimated here on the show, but hasn't really released it yet. Anyway, Bill O'Reilly, 8:40 every Thursday here on Bernie and Sid. More of the Thursday edition right after this.
New York's new. People moving out.
people moving in. Why? Because of the color of the skin. Run, 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 but you sure can't hide.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, heard everywhere on the 77 WABC app. Vote for me and I'll set you free.
Rap on, brother. Rap on.
Also simulcast out on Eastern Long Island, News Talk 107.1 FM. You know, Curtis Sliwa was out on the streets yesterday, and some bum was getting very rambunctious, and Curtis actually talked him down. We have the audio. Curtis is amazing. He has such compassion for what he calls them, the homeless. I call them bums. At this point, I'm just pissed off. I mean, I'm just sick of these people. Put them away somewhere. I mean, I'm sorry that they ended up where they are, but Curtis is very compassionate when it comes to, the homeless. Okay, I'll go with the homeless. Also, there's one guy that may be able to save the NBA. One guy. And, I mean, the NBA had a 50% drop in ratings during the finals this year from 2019. And the one guy that may be able to save the NBA, we have this guy as well coming up in the next segment. Among other things, folks, the crime, that video in TJ Maxx, these guys shoplifting. It's just awful. Here are the ATVs in Times Square last night. It was last night, actually. In front of NYPD cars, for God's sakes. Just terrible. Here on the Bernie and Sid Show, last hour coming up.
Fresh off the great success we had last Wednesday at Maimonides Ballpark, where Margo Katsimatidis really was outstanding. So was John. Hold a broadcasting from me and Bernie in the morning at those beautiful Ocean Drive towers right through the ballpark. Catch a night in the afternoon. All the esteemed guests we had, from Gooden to Shamsky to Franco to Thiedl to Peter King. Gonzalez, just an amazing day, and Margo went out there and did a tremendous job. Another big celebrity game coming up also from Maimonides Hospital. August the 12th, the Real Housewives of New Jersey will take on the Maimonides All-Stars, and you can buy tickets for that. All the housewives will be there and their husbands, which include Tiki Barber these days. You know, his wife Tracy is now on the show. You can check out tickets, only $20. Your chance to meet all the housewives, the husbands, up against Maimonides comes up August 12th. Once again, at Maimonides Ballpark, my Instagram, Rosenberg.Sydney, Rosenberg.Sydney. You can purchase tickets. Now, let's talk about Curtis Sliwa for a second. He came across a crazy person yesterday.
Where did this happen?
Well, it couldn't happen in New York because there's no crazy people left. They all moved to Boca.
I'm going to say the Bronx.
The Bronx. Now, why would you say the Bronx?
Because Curtis sent me the video.
Me too.
And the guy was acting up. Some homeless guy or whatever, some mentally imbalanced, some just whack job on the street, you know, probably with 22 prior felonies or something like that. But either way, Curtis calmed him down. He got involved. He calmed him down.
So you look at
which he often does.
He always does that, and he's
somebody taped this one.
Right, and he's a sweet guy. Bernie, you always bring this up, and I told Curtis you always bring this up. Curtis is the first one to feed a homeless guy, people that a lot of people look down on, including me. I've had my history with these folks.
You know, he reminds me of, remember the guy, the Australian guy that died when he was young? When you were a kid, he died. His daughter is
Steve Irwin.
Steve Irwin.
Yeah, the crocodile.
In other words, he goes next to the crocodiles, the dangerous animals, and he feels at home.
Right.
He's not afraid.
That's funny.
That's Curtis.
But he did die, though, Steve Irwin.
Curtis could easily die one day.
The man
of guys, they're going to pull out a knife and
kill him.
You know, right. Do what the Gottis couldn't do.
By the way, his daughter's name is Bindi, and that show is still very, very big.
Exactly.
His wife. But when you look at the video, and you and I kind of joked about this at the break, two things come to mind. One is, wow, you're right. Curtis always puts himself in harm's way to help somebody who most people wouldn't want to help. And B, it's like, why bother? Why are you talking to this guy? Just punch him across the face and walk away.
Well, that's the way I feel at this
point. Me too.
But Curtis is just he's a different breed. He's a really good guy, I have to tell you. You know, he didn't support Trump. I remember he and I went at it a couple of times over that. We have honest disagreements. But I know Curtis is a good guy. In fact, even Ron Kuby, I remember him, to talk about vast disagreements.
Yep.
At bottom, at heart, Ron Kuby is a good guy.
I love Ron Kuby.
Right. So,
love him.
So anyway, Curtis with the homeless guy the other day in the Bronx. Take a listen to this.
You go down from the ordinance? Yes. Don't think they're going to pay for your building. Hey, you live in my building. Yo, you know my wife. You got that.
Right.
Then you never fed me. You don't love. You like my wife. You like my wife.
Yeah.
It's what you like.
Yeah.
You like my wife.
Yeah, I love your wife.
You and your man. You and your father.
Lucky her. So, yeah, he calmed him down. I mean, I guess you have to see. We'll post it at our Bernie and Sid Twitter and Facebook pages. But that's Curtis Sliwa for you. He's just unique. I mean, he's just going to – they should really make – they made a movie about Bo Dietl. They need to make a movie about Curtis Sliwa. I know they have some indie-type movies. They need to have some sort of Marty Scorsese-type production on Curtis's life.
Do you want, like, a documentary, or do you want, like, a
It could be, a fictional, historical fiction, you know, where they embellish and make it entertaining and all that stuff. So a docudrama, I think they call it, right?
Docudrama, yes.
That's what they could do and should do, and I believe will do one day with Curtis Sliwa. And if he pulls off the, what some people consider the near impossible, becomes mayor of New York City in November, they will do. Because then he will have capped his life with such a legendary feat, becoming mayor of New York City.
Oh, my God.
Which would be
just unbelievable.
Yeah, and again, that's why I wish Maya Wiley had won the Democrat primary, because I believe he could have beaten her, I believe, handily, because he's got the name recognition. He goes in the hood. People love him. But either way, he's up against a former cop, a black cop who talks law and order. So it's going to be a tougher road to hoe for Curtis Sliwa.
When you say tough road to hoe, let me give you a couple of examples. Super Bowl III, the Jets are a 17-point underdog against the Baltimore Colts, Don Shula's Baltimore Colts, Johnny Unitas. And here's this young upstart Jet quarterback, Joe Namath, and he says on his lounge chair in Fort Lauderdale, we're going to win.
Bro.
We're going to win. And the Jets won. 1980, talking about the Olympics starting tomorrow, we're taking on Russia. We are a huge underdog, and we win the gold. Curtis Sliwa beating Eric Adams would be equal, less than, or a bigger upset than Jets over Colts Super Bowl III and us beating the Russians in 1980.
Curtis would be a bigger upset.
Bigger!
I'm sorry to say.
Bernie!
Yeah. Yeah, listen, I'm going to do everything I can for Curtis Sliwa.
Me too.
But I just, to keep it real, I ain't giving up. I ain't waving the white flag, but I'm just telling you, it's an uphill battle. And we still have a couple of months left. Maybe some stuff will come out about Eric Adams.
We could always create some stuff.
You know, we can make some stuff up. Hey, listen, I mentioned also, speaking of sports, the NBA Finals, of course, it was very exciting. I got to tell you, Mike Breen just makes it.
He's great.
He gives you goosebumps. He's just fantastic. Makes it sound so damn exciting.
And you got to like Giannis. You got to like Giannis.
But nevertheless, the ratings were down, as I mentioned, 50% from 2019. And that's because, A, you had two mid-American teams playing. But B, also, Black Lives Matter. Same thing happened when the Miami Heat played the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah.
The ratings went way down because they went woke and it went broke.
Were these worse than LeBron's ratings last year? I didn't see those numbers.
50%, I believe they were.
No, 50% from 2019, but 2020, was this worse than then?
I don't know the absolute statistics. I just know the percentages. But either way,
they've had a really lousy two-year run, to your point.
But as I mentioned, if there's one guy that can save the NBA, it is that kid.
Oh, Giannis.
Giannis, the Greek freak.
Oh, he's the best.
Can you pronounce his last name?
His nickname's the alphabet.
It turns out.
Antetokounmpo. It
turns out he's a really good, grounded individual.
He's brilliant.
And he stayed put in Milwaukee, and he said, I'm going to play the clip here. He talks about how I stayed loyal to this town of Milwaukee. I could have went and done the easy thing, like all these, Kevin Durant going to the Brooklyn Nets, LeBron James going to the Lakers, and
Miami.
Star teams.
How about LeBron joined Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh in Miami?
He says, no, I owed it to Milwaukee to stay here. I could have left, but I didn't. Anyway, take a listen to this guy.
It's easy to go somewhere and go and win a championship with somebody else. It's easy. I could go to a super team and, you know, just do my part and win a championship. Still won. But this is the hard way to do it, and we did it. We did it, man.
It's the hard way to do it, yeah. And we did it. And you got to love that. Listen, but he went on. It was longer than that. Trust me when I tell you.
I played some yesterday morning, too. Listen, he's from Athens, grew up in Greece. And what's great about this, Bernie, is he's won the MVP in the NBA. So he's already a mega superstar. But he struggled in the postseason. Couldn't make free throws, missed shots when they needed to make shots. And the last 2 years, all you heard was, well, the Greek Freak is a great regular season player, but balls on the line, this kid can't get it done.
Yeah, well, game six, he got it done.
The whole series. They won four straight. He scored 50 points that game, but he made his free throws. He made big shots. So it's nice to see that a young kid put in a pressure situation, who's a good kid, was able to step up and now erase any doubts. Now you can say whatever you want, but the Greek Freak came up big and won a championship.
Yeah, so take LeBron off the Wheaties box and put the Greek Freak on. Let's go to Danny from Long Island, Sydney, our friend Danny. Good morning to you, Danny.
Good morning, guys. Took 6 weeks vacation. Haven't been calling, but I've been listening every day. You guys are on point as always.
Thank you, sir.
Three quick ones that I'd like to address. I've been listening for an hour on my power walk. Critical race theory. This weekend I'm going to Pennsylvania with my son for a baseball tournament. I'm dragging him over to Gettysburg to show him where 15,000 white people died to end slavery. I guess that's, I guarantee that's not part of the curriculum, to love everybody and that all these white people are willing to die, lay down their life, yeah, to end the institution of slavery.
And just one quick thing, Danny. Nobody knows who John Brown was, the guy who pretty much started the Civil War, the white abolitionist who died and got the Civil War going. Remember Harper's Ferry, John Brown. They don't mention them in their CRT curriculum either.
They don't teach anything. And Sid, I don't want to send you into a grand mal seizure, but the U.S. women's soccer team is the only uniform of the American Olympic team that does not have the flag on it. I watched it last night, and I said, wait a second, there's no flag on that uniform.
No, that's true. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up. That's true. There's no American flag on these girls' uniforms. It's gross.
That's right. That's right. If I was one of the three girls that stood, I'd be at the tailor today weaving an American flag onto that and telling the Olympic Committee, I dare you to punish me. I dare you.
Right. Wow, that's a great point, Danny. I'm glad you brought that up. I forgot about that, but I did notice that, too, and I was told that. No American flag on the American team. I mean, what is going
on
here?
You know, Jerry in Chicago, he is of the same mentality of Danny, yourself, and me.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, Jerry?
Hey, thanks, guys, for taking my call. Let's circle back to the leader of that disgraceful display by our soccer team yesterday. I guess that Black Lives Matter shirt is our new uniform. Okay.
Yeah, talking about the purple-haired lesbian.
Rapinoe. But yeah, they were
Rapinoe. She doesn't give a crap about black lives. I'll give that see you next Thursday $10 for every black family she's helped. Over 230 black teenagers were shot in the city of Chicago. 11 of them were shot at the OK Corral last night in a 3-block radius.
Yep.
So who are these white people kidding? Black lives matter. No, only black lives matter when a white cop shoots them.
That's the end of the story. By the way, when did we change it from Tuesday to Thursday, the CU?
Just now.
Is that right? Because it is Thursday today.
that was pretty good. He just wanted to be original.
Jerry in Chicago, nicely done, brother. Next segment, we'll take a contestant for Beat Bernie. Your chance. Compliments of Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers at a $100 gift card. And, of course, a Barry House coffee mug. So we'll play Beat Bernie. And your phone calls, too, coming up at the end of the program. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. Wrapping it down, I should say, the Thursday edition of Bernie and Sid.
You can kick their balls, but you can't touch them.
So on the way to see Michael Brinkhardt and Heshey and Michael A. at Maimonides, I was listening to Stern, and I heard this really cool interview, and I thought about Bernard. He was interviewing a guy that we've interviewed on our show a bunch of times, and the guy's name is J.B. Smoove. So I'm getting ready to go back to filming Gravesend in August. In fact, I'm waiting on my scripts from William DeMeo when I spoke to Chris yesterday, and we're all waiting. I'm supposed to shoot in August in Brooklyn, back in Miami, October or November, and the show should be released either December of this year or early January of 2022. But we have scripts, but just like, for example, me, I've never acted before, I shot my first acting scenes with Dice, Andrew Dice Clay, in Miami back in April. Yeah, that's right. And I did a lot of ad-libbing, my own thing. I just kind of talked, and they loved it. So listening to J.B. Smoove on Howard yesterday, on the show Curb Your Enthusiasm, which, Bernie, I think is maybe your favorite comedy of all time.
Close.
No,
All in the
All
Family.
The family, yeah, right. But Larry David's brilliant. So he was saying, J.B., that there's no scripts. You got nothing.
Oh, on Curb.
Nothing.
Oh, yeah, everybody knows that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's the way Larry David does it.
Yeah, he just gives you like a piece of paper and he goes, okay, we're going to talk about
right.
this.
He gives you the scenario.
Right.
And then you go and you ad-lib pretty much.
You're a big fan of the show, so you knew this.
Yes.
I'm not a huge fan. I like it. Palestinian Chicken is still a great episode. But I didn't know all the ins and outs.
There's a framework, but not individual. Not this is your line, this is my line. It's
Like you said, he gives a piece of paper to JB and he says, I'm going to bring up this and then just do your thing.
That's right.
That's not easy, bro. It's kind of like what we do every morning, you know. I say this to Chaz Palminteri and these guys all the time.
Wow.
Acting is easy. You get a script. You know exactly what to say. Me and Bernie walk in. We know the guests. We know the hot topics of the day. But there's no script. We have like a bunch of papers in front of us that we don't even look at half the
time. This dude is something special.
So we got to come. We got to make this thing happen and be brilliant every day, which we do.
We got to make
this is tough.
We got to make this bitch happen.
You see what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Ain't no news show. Don't just sit here and report the news like a bunch of, you know, stiff people on television. We're brilliant.
Well, sometimes you could tell, though. I must tell you, with J.B. Smoove, as he calls himself, you could tell he doesn't have a script.
He gets lost sometimes,
His crutch is the F word, the F bomb. I mean, he uses it. You know,
On Curb?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because he used it on Stern Show a thousand times
yesterday.
It's
his crutch. He's not necessarily a great stand-up comic.
No, he's not.
He's funny on the show because he's in a context with Larry David and all these people. But he uses the F-bomb all the time, and a little too much sometimes.
Interesting.
In other words, it got a little played out, a little bit, but it's still funny.
Is he that funny, though? I mean, I don't...
Funny how?
I don't find him to be all that funny. I don't...
Well, it was funny initially because I think... his name on the show is Black.
Black.
So you know, Larry David brought a family from Hurricane Katrina from Louisiana, and he brought the Blacks to live with him.
Oh, that is funny.
Right.
Brilliant, actually.
And it was great. And he was he's so nice. He let them live. And they just took over his house.
They
own the house. You
that's
know?
Funny.
And it was hilarious. It was so funny. And then he got rid of the family and he kept JB Smoove.
Yeah,
and JB lives with him and blah, blah, blah.
So is the show still on? Is that show still?
Yeah, they're taping, I believe they're taping another season now.
Okay.
Thankfully, even though,
he died, Funkhauser.
Funkhauser is dead, yes.
Dead in real life.
Stick a fork in him.
Stick a fork in him.
I can't get enough of that Joe Beningo drop. Stick a fork in him. I swear to God, I wake up at night saying that.
Bro.
God, he's brilliant.
Funk that.
Funk is out. But the wife is still there, right? Cheryl Hines?
Get him out.
She's there. She dates she dates the clown that was on Cheers. What's his name?
Ted Danson?
Ted Danson.
On the show? On Curb?
She used to be Larry's wife.
Right.
Bro. And now she dates Ted Danson. And so they have that conflict going or whatever.
Ted Danson.
What a disgrace.
All you need to know is in real life, you want to get sick, Ted Danson had sex with Whoopi Goldberg.
I know. Well,
more than once.
Get him out.
Oh, God.
Hey, listen, everybody.
Stick a fork in him.
Everybody has their preference.
I know, but he worked with Shelley Long and Kirstie Alley.
Please, I'm begging
Shelley Long and Kirstie Alley, you're banging Whoopi Goldberg?
And you're a big star.
Big star. I mean, you can have anybody.
You can have whatever you want.
Whatever you want.
And you go with Whoopi Goldberg?
I mean, jeez.
Bro,
you know,
you're right across the board.
He wears
toupee.
A toupee, yes. Yeah.
But he's a handsome guy. He's fine.
No, he's not.
He's not handsome anymore?
Maybe he was.
But he was Sam Malone. He wasn't handsome?
I guess. I wasn't a big Cheers fan.
Oh, I was huge. And I'll say this. I agree with All in the Family, the greatest comedy ever. But there's never been a television show with a collection of more superstars in Cheers. From Ted Danson to Woody Harrelson to Kirstie Alley, Shelley Long, John Ratzenberger, George Wendt, who played Norm, of course.
Bro.
Rhea Perlman, Danny DeVito. I mean, the list was just, it was incredible. That is the collection of the biggest superstars ever. It's not. I don't think it's a show even close.
Well, you need funny lines, though. No, they were
no,
funny.
They were funny. They were funny.
Funny how. I like Frasier.
Oh, he was on that show, too.
Frasier was funny.
He was a spinoff of that. What's his name? Kelsey Grammer. Got caught with a lot of cocaine one time at an airport.
Right.
Disappointing story. But he was funny.
They're bringing that show back, by the way.
Frasier.
Yeah.
But he died, the father.
I know. He's not coming back. David Hyde Pierce is coming back, but the father who was in Moonstruck.
He was also in Say Anything. He played Lloyd Dobler's would-be father-in-law. It was brilliant.
Unless
he's out the house.
Yeah.
You could play put the fork in him there, too, for Beningo.
Stick a fork in
him. Right. That's a little insensitive, but it's funny.
Get him out.
And then stick him in the ground.
You're done.
Bro. Joe Beningo.
Now you know why he was a genius all those years, Beningo. He just, I mean, God.
I don't know about a genius, but he was
always
he was entertaining.
Yeah. Well, in that genre, he was a genius.
That's not being a genius. He was just being authentic. He's being authentic.
So you have to know about
he's a regular guy. That's politics. That was his appeal.
Well, hold on, but you have to know about politics and news and history to be a genius?
No.
You don't think Chris Russo is a genius? He's a half a tard, but he's a genius. A genius.
I didn't say Chris Russo.
I don't care.
Chris Russo and Joe Beningo are not in the same.
Oh, you don't think so?
No, I don't.
Okay. Bro.
No.
So you think Russo is a genius, but Beningo was just...
Beningo was just being himself.
Right.
Russo was... he's being himself as well, but he's an entertainer.
Oh, yeah, okay. You have the utmost respect for Dog. Who was better, Russo
or
Francesa?
I have the utmost respect for Beningo as well, but I'm just calling him as
who
I
who was better, Russo or Francesa? Show some balls here. Don't be a wussy. Who was better?
Oh, Russo, no doubt.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
What if Mike calls in right now? Francesa.
What do you want me... I'll meet you on the street. We'll throw some punches.
See, that's the difference between
me. I don't care. I'm not going to.
No, that's the difference between me and Bernie, because Bernie, and I mean this is a testament to you, he'll say Russo's better. If Francesa calls in, Bernie will say, listen, Mike, I'm sorry. I think Russo's better. I'll say Russo's better, and as soon as Mike calls in, first I'll deny that I said that, and then I'll say that you're better, Mike. Because that's me.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm the guy that eviscerated Lance Armstrong, and then when he showed up for Imus's show, climbed up his leg like Jeff Van Gundy and nearly made love to the guy.
That's a slam dunk.
But when he was walking out the door, you were hugging his leg, and he was like pulling on you and, you know, dragging you. No, and by the way, we're not surprised. That's not a revelation you just made. That is,
You wouldn't remember this, but you actually said it. You go, what, Sid, tomorrow, big tough talking Sid, be all over Lance Armstrong. I'm like, no way. Look what he's Sheryl Crow when he's stealing and he's cheating. Lance, baby, I love you.
Lance off. Your eyes lit up when he walked in. Oh my God, it's Lance Armstrong. It's a celebrity.
Oh, can I get one of those bracelets?
He's famous. He rides bikes. With one testicle.
What a disgrace.
I was on the Champs-Élysées when I saw him win one of those races. How about that? I was there.
Say the name of the street again.
Champs-Élysées or something? How do you say it? How do you say it?
The P is silent.
Champs.
No. The M. They actually say the Champs-Élysées.
Okay.
Like an N.
You remember I called you from there on the Imus show when I was there in Paris? I called you. It was a disaster. Imus killed me.
Okay. Now it's coming back to me. Coming back to me.
I'm like, Bernie, I'm in Paris. I'm going to call in quick. I have a couple of funny lines. And I was just like, don't ever call in again. It's stupid. Hang on.
Use your noodle here.
But I actually, moron. He actually won that.
You know what? Don't come back.
Absolute buffoon. Stick a fork in him.
So Lance Armstrong won that year, you're saying?
He won the year. He won like five of them. But that year,
well,
that
of course
in,
he won. He was roided up.
He was cheating, yes.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Yes, except for him. Well, not for him. He actually reaped the benefits of it.
Oh, you know what's silly? Like Bond, for example, did all those steroids with the Giants.
Nobody ever took his sponsor money back from him.
That's the point. So Bonds is getting like $20 million a year from the Giants because he's not even human at one point. They're walking him with the bases loaded. That's how great Barry Bonds was. So, yes, he couldn't make the Hall of Fame, and some people hate his guts, but he's laughing all the way to the bank. Same thing with Lance Armstrong.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true. But some people do have the
care about their reputation.
Integrity to worry about their character.
That's ridiculous.
That's brilliant. That's funny,
that
man.
A real good joke, yeah.
Yeah. That was no joke, Francesa.
You gotta be kidding me.
No, he wasn't kidding you. That's silly.
What a disgrace.
Yeah, that's funny. Serious.
Now, it's time to beat Bernie.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Leo is in Garden City. He is an engineer. He is today's contestant on Beat Bernie. He's got a chance to win a $100 gift card and a WABC Barry House coffee mug, courtesy of Pete Morgan, Peerless Borders. Leo, good morning, pal. How are you?
How are you, Sid?
I'm good. Everything good with you?
Yeah, things are great. I'm looking forward to this. I listen to you guys every morning, and I'm looking forward to try and beat Bernie.
What kind of engineer are you? My father, God rest his soul, I lost last year, was a chemical engineer. What kind of engineer are you?
I'm a surveyor.
Gotcha.
You know, we put up steel.
Gotcha. All right. Well, my gut tells me you're going to be a very, very tough competitor today, so I wish you the best of luck and congrats on getting in.
Thank you, Sid.
Let's do it, pal. During the 1800s, who was the leader of Tammany Hall that plundered New York City of sums estimated between $30 and $200 million?
Oh, my God. Tammany Hall. Oh, God.
Tough one.
I would like to say the McManai, because it's my last name in the West Side.
It is. That is incorrect. No. The actual answer is Boss Tweed. Boss Tweed. Who was the first? Yeah. Who was the first African-American United States Attorney General that said he was quitting in 2014 but was still on the job for Obama in 2015?
Is that the mayor of Chicago? What's his name?
No, that's not. No, that's Emmanuel.
Emmanuel, yeah. No, I don't have an answer.
Close. His name was Eric Holder. Here's number three, Leo. In 1958, who was the folk singer that repeated his stage role as Big Daddy in the film adaptation of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof? I'll give you one more hint. He also sang a lot in those Claymation Christmas shows, which I like.
Yeah, well, I'm enjoying being on the radio. I don't have an answer for that.
You're on your two-legged back of anthrax, should be Jesus.
His name was Burl Ives. Number four, United We Stand.
Ives with yes. The beard. I remember his beard.
Yes, that's right, the white beard. United We Stand, Divided We Fall is the motto of what U.S. state? I'll give you another hint because I like you. John Calipari. Rick Pitino.
I'm going zero.
You don't know the answer to this? Or through those hints I just gave you? Kentucky would be the other side.
Wrong, you two-legged back of anthrax.
And finally, the Battle of Cowpens and Battle of Trenton were battles that took place in what war? Leo.
Revolution.
There you go. All right, so you got one right. We'll see if Bernie fares any better.
Not easy today. Sorry, who was it?
I really wanted Leo to win. I kind of like Leo.
Hang on there, Leo.
Yeah. So let's get Bernie back in here. I just got the script from Leslie.
Oh, that's right. You're doing Frank Siller.
Frank Siller today.
He hasn't
very
started
exciting.
Walking yet, I guess. Then right? No, no. Yeah, he hasn't started that walk.
No, not yet. No,
walking here.
Yeah, we'll get all that on video today. Then I do my my video podcast, yes. Which is basically a Wendy Williams Hot Topic shoot off. Frankie Kravitz, who I met at Gargiulo's last week. Hey Sid, just listening to your comments about Cheers, another sitcom with superstar after superstar was the Mary Tyler Moore Show. He's right about that. In fact, nearly every cast member went on to have their own show. I guess he's right, right? Ed Asner had his own show. What's his name?
Rhoda.
Rhoda, Valerie Harper. And Dick Van Dyke, too, right?
He wasn't on Mary Tyler Moore.
That's what I'm saying. See what I'm saying?
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I'm drunk.
No, Mary Tyler. Speaking of Dick Van Dyke, that was another show that had a lot of... Carl Reiner came out of the Dick Van Dyke show.
That's two.
Mary Tyler Moore and Dick Van Dyke. And there was another one, The Woman...
Yeah, but not like Cheers has like 10 people.
Yeah, whatever.
You know also
Cloris Leachman.
Yeah, Taxi.
Oh, yeah, Cloris Leachman in Mary Tyler Moore.
She died recently.
Taxi also had a ton of people. Taxi had Danny DeVito, Christopher Lloyd, Tony Danza.
Yeah, so what are you talking about?
Taxi is second to Cheers.
You're defeating your own point.
No, Taxi is second to Cheers.
There were a lot of sitcoms that had a lot of stars.
No, two. Cheers and Taxi, that's it.
Okay.
Three, it doesn't make a lot. You got to have 10.
What about Mary Tyler Moore?
She had three.
What about the Dick Van Dyke Show?
Two.
No, four on Mary Tyler.
All right. Taxi had 10, and Cheers had 12. Anyway.
All right.
Here we go, Bernie.
All right, then.
During the 1800s, who was the leader of Tammany Hall that plundered New York City of sums estimated between $30 and $200 million?
Oh, geez. I know this. The leader of Tammany Hall. His name was Big Fat Slob.
Yes.
Yeah. Give me a hint. Come on.
You a hint.
I'm drawing a blank. I know it. Believe me when I tell you. I read about it a million times. Just give me a hint. By the way, I already conceded I lost. But just give me a hint. Okay, but give me a hint now.
What was the blank hog in the show with John Schneider and Boss Hog, wasn't it?
Oh, Boss Tweed.
Yes.
Boss Tweed.
Very good.
Boss Tweed. Yeah. That's it.
By
Thank
the way,
you. Thank you. See that?
The Leo only got, the player got one right, just so you know.
A mind is a terrible thing to waste.
See what I'm saying? That's like the
magnet. Just say no, yo.
My refrigerator, my magnet says, of all the things I've lost, I miss my mind most. Oh, you get if you get two right, you win. Leo got one right. And you're up to an 0-for-1 start. Who was the first African-American United States Attorney General that said he was quitting in 2014 but was still there for Obama in 2015?
Holder.
Yes. In 1958, who was the folk singer that repeated his stage role as Big Daddy in the film adaptation of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof?
The folk singer?
I'll give you a hint. I gave the same to the guy. He was also in a lot of the Christmas claymation shows.
Oh, Burl Ives.
Yes. That's a good hint. You
Thank
know?
You. Thank you.
Bernie already won. United we stand, divided we fall is the motto of what U.S. state?
United we stand, divided we fall. That's a good question. I like that. United we stand, divided we fall. Hold on a second. What state?
Want me to give you the same hint I gave him?
Yeah, please.
John Calipari. Rick Pitino.
Rick Pitino. That would be Kentucky.
Yep. And finally, the Battle of Cowpens and the Battle of Trenton were battles that took
place.
What
was the first one?
The Battle of Cowpens. C-O-W-P-E-N-S. And the Battle of Trenton.
Yeah.
Took place in what war, those two battles?
That was the Revolutionary War.
That's right. Bernie wins easily today. 4-1 the final score. Bernie, say hello to Leo.
What's up, Leo?
Hey, Bernie. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for playing. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. I see you're an engineer. What railroad?
No. Not a railroad. I'm a surveyor. We put up steel. I build the tall buildings. You know, I've been neighbors of both you and Sid at times in my life.
No kidding.
I used to live on West Hudson Street in Long Beach at one time.
Okay, yeah.
And then I also lived on East 31st Street and Avenue M in Brooklyn, which is where Sid is from.
Very close. I was on Quentin and East 22nd, so very close to you, yes.
I went to PS 193 for grammar school.
Yes, I know it well. In fact, my brother-in-law Albert owned a electronics store for many, many years, almost three decades, which he just sold last year. It was called Brooklyn Magnavox, and it was on Nostrand and U, right by your old house.
That's near Puppy City.
Yes, Puppy City is Ocean Avenue and Avenue U. Ocean Avenue and Avenue
but it's
City.
Near it.
Yes.
It's near it.
Yes.
But now,
yes.
Leo, you're a big shot. You live in fancy Garden City with Greg Kelly. Greg Kelly will be one of your neighbors. Also, the author, I believe, the author James Patterson lives in Garden City.
How about that?
And so does Nelson DeMille live there.
Wow. So, would you hit the lottery?
Kojak was a neighbor, and DeBuscher was a neighbor of mine on 3rd Street.
No kidding. The late Kosher, the late DeBuscher. Who is that? Alan Dershowitz?
Yes.
Get out of here. Bring him in.
Alan Dershowitz.
Hey, Leo, we got to go, bro. Hey, Mr. Dershowitz, good Lord, what an honor. Nice to see you. Wow. Alan Dershowitz in the Bernie and Sid.
Sit down for 1 second, quick.
So please take
why are you
the mic
here?
If you could.
Yeah. Put this microphone on right here for a second. Just pick that up, Alan. Just do it manually.
This is really an honor to meet you. We were just talking about geniuses before.
He's a genius.
We were really.
Now, what are you doing here?
What I'm doing here is going from store to store and tell them to stop selling Ben and Jerry is what I'm doing.
No, it's not true.
No. we're bringing a lawsuit.
You want?
Bringing a lawsuit. You see, the problem with Ben and Jerry is not that they're protesting Israeli policies. It's that they don't protest any other policies.
Right.
They're selling all over the world the most repressive regimes. They only pick the one Jewish democracy in the world.
Right.
Which has offered a two-state solution, offered to give back the territories, and they say, we won't sell you our ice cream. There's a word for that. It's called anti-Semitism. When you pick only the Jews.
Yeah.
So I'm all in gonna go after those guys.
Oh, this is great. Yeah, they're two cowards, two blubbering cowards.
Look at these guys. They're like Bernie Sanders. You're born in Brooklyn. You want to save the world. You want to create racial justice. So where do you move? Vermont, where there are no black people and there's no minorities.
Exactly.
And you tell the world how to behave from Vermont.
That's phony.
Move
That's
to
true.
Israel.
Right.
Be in the way of the rockets and then tell us that you're
Or move to Harlem.
Yeah.
Now, by the way, not only has Ben and Jerry's exposed themselves as anti-Semites this week, but what's going on in Tokyo the day before the Olympics, Alan, is also really scary. I mean, it is just, it's unbelievable how anti-Semitism is now not only accepted, but widely encouraged today.
It's all over the world. In Poland, there was a demonstration the other day in which people were yelling, the Jews caused the COVID. You know, we're blamed for everything. There was an old expression in Poland. Now, the Polish people are great. I love the Polish people in Brooklyn, and there were so many heroes during the Holocaust, but there are some very bad people there, too. And their view is if anything bad has happened in the world, it must be the fault of the Jews. It must be the fault. And we're so powerful. There are so many of us. I mean, my God, we're 0.1% of the world's population, and we cause all the problems.
Yeah, it's a little sickening at this point. But Alan Dershowitz, so you're here at 77 WABC. You're going to sue Ben and Jerry's, obviously, but in what capacity are you here in our studios?
Well, first of all, John and I go back 100 years. He's one of the great men of the world.
Agreed.
And we're talking about the possibility of me doing a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And, you know, I love being on your show.
Thank you.
This is my favorite station.
I grew up
in Brooklyn. I listened to this station growing up as a kid. And now, you know, it's a station that reflects New Yorkers. New Yorkers are dying to figure out where they should be. They have been abandoned by the left of the Democratic Party. Many of them can't quite buy into some of the extremes in the Republican Party. And, you know, I wrote a book called Why I Left the Left and Couldn't Join the Right. Mm. And I think I have a lot of people out there who agree with me. 100%. We're looking for middle ground. We're looking for solid conservative, liberal, you know, conservatives and liberals have much more in common than any of us have with the extremes on our side. I hate the extreme left, even though I think of myself as a liberal.
The wokesters, the woke supremacists.
Yeah, who is it? Brad Stevens, who said, Brett Stevens, wake me up when the woke is over.
So you're, it's the middle of summer. You're a Martha's Vineyard guy. You've been ostracized.
Chasing me. Are you kidding?
So that's why you fled Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah.
Because it's not receptive to you anymore?
I'm not fleeing anywhere.
I'm fighting back.
Yeah. I had to come in for a couple of reasons, but I'm going back to the vineyard today.
Good.
Nobody's going to push me around.
No.
Nobody's going to make me change my views. You know, it's an interesting point. McCarthyism hit Martha's Vineyard very hard in the 40s and 50s. Why? A lot of writers, Lillian Hellman, living there, and a lot of the Hollywood people were victims of McCarthyism. Now the children of these Hollywood people are McCarthyites themselves. They're banning me. They're banning my wife. You know why they're banning my wife? This is interesting. Okay, they banned me. I represented the president. My wife didn't even want me to represent the president, but they're banning her. Why? Because she once was caught on television laughing at a Trump joke.
Oh, my God.
And as a result of that, they say she's an enabler.
Right, she's
an
canceled.
Enabler. She comes from Charleston, South Carolina. She's polite. You laugh at people's jokes.
These people are sick, Alan Dershowitz. You know that.
But you guys fight back.
Yes, we do.
I want to be part of that fight.
Well, welcome to the station, and I hope the podcast works out. I hope you get your own show here.
You should get your own show. Forget about a podcast. We should put you on Saturdays or Sundays, and you're not going to find two more enthusiastic supporters than me and Bernard for this. So, John, if you're listening, put Alan on the podcast. Put him on a Sunday. Give him whatever he wants. It's great to see you, pal.
He's a great champion of the First Amendment right there.
Right, and keep doing great things. Keep fighting for justice, for liberty, for the American values.
Thank you, Alan.
No question.
That is a genius. That is Alan Dershowitz. Wow. We love him. He's great. We are done for today, the Thursday edition. We hope you enjoyed Alan, Bill O'Reilly, Chaz Palminteri. We're back again tomorrow as we get ready for another weekend, summer weekend here on Bernie and Sid. Enjoy this gorgeous Thursday in New York City. Until 6:30 tomorrow, everybody, from all of us to all of you.
Peace!
Beat Bernie, sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters on 77 WABC.